indicated to the secretariat that they must look at their presentation. We received the new version, and I think it's a big improvement, especially that there is an indication of the asset holder as well as the timelines. So we welcome that. I maybe also just want to again highlight the fact for the accounting officer that all entities that falls within his portfolio, when they appear at Parliament, it's important that the CFO or himself is here, because it's very important for interaction. Last week we had one of the institutions with us, the inspecting judge, and it was difficult to deal with the issues, especially the financial issues. So that is just for going forward. And if it is not possible for the secretariat to be there to ensure that there's the official letter of apology and those kind of things moving forward. So I think that is just important. And then I want to indicate also that we will probably in January, at the end or beginning February, call all departments to focus on their responses to the BRRR recommendations that was approved by Parliament in the last week or so. So I just want to highlight the importance of those BRRR recommendations. Of course, a lot of the issues focus on the AG findings and issues related to that. So it's also, I think, related to today's discussion. I must just maybe indicate that since our last engagement, there was a meeting between the chairs of Parliament, committee chairs, and the Auditor General, and where they looked at all government departments and, of course, the state entities. And there was an indication of some of the issues that we've highlighted last time, but I just want to again highlight the importance of ensuring that, this is the issues that the AG again put on the table, ensure that key positions were filled with competent people and stabilised the administration, also the positions of the CFO. Then he raised also the issue of slow response by accounting officers and senior management to the AG's recommendations, vacancies at key positions, of course, and then little improvement at overall letting and getting the basics right. No improvement in audit opinions on financial statements, and too much reliance on auditors for the material statements. Non-compliance remains high. And then on audit committees, the AG indicated the following. It's important that the audit committee should be in place, functioning well and having a positive impact. And increased focus on SEM is having the desired effect at some auditees. He also indicated that it's a concern that at some auditees, the audit committee championed the view of the management against the auditor without fully interrogating the facts, and then the importance of internal audit units being effective. So that's issues that the AG raised with the chairs of committees next week, and he called on us in the next 12 months going forward that we really focus on these issues. So I just want to put that up front as well, that there is now also onus on portfolio committees to interrogate those issues much more. So I will then immediately ask the honourable members to introduce themselves, and then I'll give the acting secretary as well as the chairperson of the audit committee an opportunity to introduce themselves. Yes.
Dumelang bagaetsho, leina la ka ke nna Ntsi Molebatsi, ke leloko la komiti e, ke a leboga.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Phindile Mola, a member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Leonard Ramatlakane, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Jerome Mage, member of this committee.
Good morning, Chair. Apologies for my late arrival. Good morning, Zakhele Mbele, member of the committee.
Morning all, my name is Johannes Mauma, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Acting Secretary, over to you.
Thank you, good morning, honourable members. My name is Alvin Pumunzo Rape. Today I've got a big delegation because it's the audit issues are very key. I will ask just for it to be quicker for each one of the delegation to introduce themselves.
Good morning, honorable members and chairperson. It's Valam Basson from the Civilian Secretary for Police Service.
Morning, Chair, honorable members and the colleagues. My name is Tumelo Nkojwana. I'm the Chief Financial Officer in the department.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Dawn Bell. I'm Chief Director of Legislation.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. I'm Alfred Mudau, responsible for Audit and Risk Management.
Morning, Chair. My name is Boko Mahlangu. I'm a Director for Fraud and Anti-Corruption.
Morning, Chair. My name is Molate Muremi, Civilian Secretariat for Police, Intersectoral Coordination.
Morning, Chair. My name is Takalani Ramaru, Chief Director for Oversight, Monitoring and Information.
Morning, Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee. I am Wekesi Mashibini, Chief Director, Corporate Services.
Chair, I introduce my team here. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, my team here this morning is Simandile Peter, Advocate, so there's a legal person next to me, as well as Stephen Matuba. Mr. Puti, he wasn't able to attend this meeting, so that's the four Audit Committee members. Myself, I'm Professor Armand Jager. I'm normally at the University of Pretoria.
Thank you very much, and Mr. Samuel Wood there at the back. The PLO, welcome to him as well. Yes, I think we will immediately start with the presentation. Of course, the focus is going to be very much in our interrogation with the Audit Committee. I just want to remind members of the document that was distributed by the researchers. Thank you for that. It's a very good document, looking at the key issues that the members can also ensure that they, you know, use that productively during the engagement. So, of course, the presentation from the accounting officer and his staff, but of course then the main issues today, we want to have that discussion with the Audit Committee. Acting Secretary, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. We went back to do the preparation for this meeting, and I recall there was also the discussion about bringing in the turnaround strategy, which in terms of the time that we had and also that we haven't even engaged the minister on the turnaround strategy, we would like to indicate that we were unable to submit that at this point. But once it's finished and approved by the minister, we will come in. The focus which we have is only on the issues, the AG's finding. And Mr. Ngojwana, the CFO, is going to lead the presentation. And then the members of the team will respond to any questions that have been raised. I must indicate that the first draft was presented to the Audit and Risk Committee, and they looked into it. They sent us packing, and we went, we improved on it, and what we are bringing it in is an improved document, which we also shared it with the Audit and Risk Committee. Thanks.
Yes, Honourable Chair, once again, members, the Secretary, the colleagues, and all protocol observed. Just maybe to introduce, we are here to present on the audit findings. But one thing that I would like maybe just to make a summary of, as I'm presenting, you will realize that actually the department, there are two matters. The first two matters are the matters on which the department was qualified on. And then you realize that the subsequent eight matters, there will be matters of emphasis maybe as per the Auditor General. And the remainder of the other findings that follow thereafter are just matters that affect the audit report. And it's actually, most of them is just the details of what would have been what we are qualified on, and what also comes from the matters of emphasis. As this, the accounting officer has indicated that in the presentation of the during the presentation of the 2015-16 annual report to the portfolio on the 13th of October. Responses to the audit committee were also included, but there was a view that they were not detailed enough, the targets were not clear, and it is for that reason that the committee proposed that we prepare a more detailed plan. And a new date for the presenting these responses to the for audit was then set and escalated with more detailed information. As I've indicated, that this is one of the two matters which actually resulted in the department getting qualified. We said that there was misstatements of accruals which amounted to about 14.9 million. As the department, we've established the route for this, and we found that the main root causes for this, it was the instability of the leadership at the business level to establish policies and monitor the implementation of such policies. There was also non-existent of documented policies and procedures in terms of how accruals should be managed. There was also inadequate accounting skills to prepare quality financial statements. And in response to making sure that these matters are addressed, the Chief Financial Officer has since been appointed. We've also established a task team which is actually responsible for focusing on the financial statement, particularly making sure the accuracy of the accrual list as something that actually led to us being qualified. We've also introduced a manual system in the absence, because in most cases to deal with matters of accruals, you need your financial systems, but we are saying that in the absence of the financial system, we've introduced a manual system to record accruals, which will be regularly updated and reviewed, which is happening on a monthly basis. There's also a development of documented procedures on how accruals should be handled. We've also established an independent review and quality check interim for interim and financial statement. That is a team outside the finance section. The staff within finance were also trained on the preparation of the interim and the financial statement. The second matter which actually qualified us is receivables, which amounted to about 5.7 million, were said to have been overstated. The root cause for this has been established as being incorrect interpretation of the modified cash standard guide due to non-existence of the review and quality check of the IFS. There would have been one person who prepared the IFS, and such, there was never any review to make sure that things are in order. Inability to produce interim financial statements, we have not been preparing financial statements in accordance, so that's why then when we had to prepare our annual financial statement, there were all these challenges. Inadequate accounting skills to prepare quality financial statements is one of the resources. We've since then made sure that, as I've indicated, that we've developed that independent review and quality check interim for interim and annual financial statements. The staff has also been trained in preparing these financial statements. This actually is where then the matters of emphasis, as reported by AG, starts. It was said that indicators were not well defined and targets not smart. And in response to what we found to be the cause root of that, it was the lack of common interpretation of indicators amongst the different role players, you know, the different cost centers. There was a different interpretation. We've since then made sure that there's continuous interaction with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation and National Treasury, which are the custodian for the development of these documents. Number four is reported performance information not valid and accurate. Not valid in the sense that it could have not been signed by the time when when we presented, and maybe not accurate in the sense that maybe you might find that sometimes the portfolio of evidence that is provided doesn't talk to what we've reported as have been achieved. So we've said that the root cause for this, we found that non-existence of monitoring and tracking performance targets by the heads of the business units resulted in the late submission of most of those reports. So that's why then they were not valid. There was non-existent procedures and processes on the management and reporting on performance information. Approved performance information and policy was not presented to management. We've since developed this policy, which will be then presented to management. So we are saying that our action is we are going to introduce monthly milestone reporting system. We've also developed an internal business process on management of performance information. the Director for Strategic Planning has been made accountable to present this performance formula to the senior management. These are matters, repeated matters. You'll realize that most of these matters are repetitive, but all of them, they talk to issues relating to supply chain. It is said that there was irregular expenditure, which means that procurement and contract management process was not followed. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. So we've, in terms of the root cause for this, most of these supply chain issues, we said that it was because of the late submission of the procurement requests by land managers. There was also non-compliance with the National Treasury prescripts. And to address this, we've since implemented a demand management plan, and we've also introduced a supply chain compliance checklist, and corrective action has also been, we're going to make sure that non-compliance letters are issued to those officials that are found to be non-complying. So in terms of number six, which also is a supply chain issue relating to payment of surplus within 30 days, we've said that the root causes for this is because there was no dedicated individuals to validate the invoices as they are received. Certain invoices also were being disputed. There was a dispute of certain invoices. There was a delay in paying them. The absence of the manual register for invoices as we receive them, and also a tracking system that helps us analyze the invoices was not in place. But we've since then identified a dedicated person which will help in validating of the invoices. We've developed the register for all the disputed invoices to make sure that we can track them continuously. We've introduced a manual system for invoice recording and tracking, so that we've also made sure that we introduce a system whereby as the invoice are received, then they get a date stamped, and this and the work within the invoice is also monitored on biweekly purposes. Issues relating to irregular expenditure, again, we are saying here again is the whole issue of late submission of procurement requests by the land managers, non-compliance with the National Treasury, and the lack of consequential management against those which are non-compliant. But the same process of demand management plan, you know, SCM compliance checklist, and corrective action being taken is what has been since introduced. Here again, we are talking about the effectiveness and the review not taking place. So we are saying here, non-existence of monitoring and tracking of financial and non-financial information to ensure accuracy that does not exist. So non-existence of monitoring frameworks, and also non-existence of the internal control unit, which actually looks at all these compliance matters. But we've then since introduced a monthly milestone report, as I've indicated, and we've also developed a monitoring and evaluation framework. We've also established the internal control unit, which will assist in making sure that the financial and non-financial information are regularly monitored. In terms of also information relating to the internal controls regarding procurement and contract management, we are saying here again is the whole issue of late submission of procurement requests by the land managers. And we've said for that reason, there should be consequential management action taking place. But in the meantime, to address these matters, again, we've said we've introduced the demand management plan, the compliance checklist, and also the disciplinary action will be taken, which talks to non-compliance letters for those who are not complying. In terms of action not taken to address the risk, we have said that this was mainly due to the instability at the executive level, leadership instability at the executive level. And we've since appointed several permanent people have been appointed, including the CFO and the Chief Director for Civilian Oversight, Monitoring and Evaluation have already appointed. In terms of misstatements that were identified, we've said that SSF indicated previously is the whole issue of the leadership that was not there. And then we've also said non-existence of those documented policies and procedures for everyone to understand how these matters are handled. But there was also the issue of the accounting skills that was there. But again, we've introduced all these systems which involves the review, and also the CFO has since been appointed, and we've got documented process. There will be quality check, and the staff will be trained on all these matters. In terms of misclassification of the receivables, again, is the whole issue of incorrect interpretation of the modified cash standards. And we've also said the inability of people to prepare the financial statement, the skills in accounting. But then in addressing these matters, we've said the review team has been established and the staff will be trained for those issues. In terms of non-compliance to supply chain process, again, we are seeing the line managers always making their request very late. So, and then that leads to a non-compliance, and then the issue of demand management, then compliance checklist, and making sure that the corrective action non-compliance letters are issued to non-compliant officials has been introduced. Again, is also another supply chain issue, which actually has the same consequence, which has got the same roots as the previous one, and also the same actions have been taken to make sure that those matters are addressed as they all relate to supply chain. Yes, this is just a breakdown, like I said, of the first item that was on the matters of emphasis. It's also relating to supply chain. It's the same matters that talk to late submission and also non-compliance. And then we've said we've introduced the demand management plan and also the compliance checklist, and yeah, non-compliance issues letters will be issued for those who are not complying. Also, the same issues, supply chain matters, as you can see, yeah, in terms of supply chain also we had a very big challenge. But again, land managers may not be taken off of that matter, and we've said that as the finance section, we've introduced the demand and the compliance checklist to make sure that these matters are addressed. So again, issues relating to supply chain, it will be the same root causes that actually and the same action has been indicated before it will be taken. Supply chain issues again, but just breaking down into details, like I've indicated, that most of these matters affecting is just the details of what was the matters of emphasis, and we are saying that the root cause are almost the same, and the same action is going to be taken. Deficiencies identified in tender and quotation register, as much as it's a supply chain matter, but we are saying in this instance, this was due to non-existence of procedure manuals, and the fact that the staff was not skilled enough maybe to detect irregular expenditure on time. But with the introduction of the compliance checklist, these matters should be addressed, and we'll also develop the procedure manuals to make sure that everyone knows what exactly to be done. And that in the process will be helping people, and then we're hoping to get additional staff to assist in these matters. Again, it's a matter of supply chain relating particularly to irregular expenditure for both 20 and 21. And again, here we are saying that it was a matter of misinterpretation of the National Treasury prescripts and the fact that in the previous financial years, we are never accustomed to be preparing these financial statements. But we've since then that we've introduced this review committee that will make sure, and then we'll follow the supply chain process. And then there will be also a continuous engagement with National Treasury. And also, we're hoping that the audit committee will also assist us in making sure that we prepare the financial statement properly as part of the team that will review these financial statements. Declaration of interest by suppliers, this was due to absence of, we didn't have a system to actually to verify this matter, but we've since made sure that, but with National Treasury introducing the central supplier database, the matter has kind of been resolved, but we are still continuing with our complex checklist to make sure that we still may verify and confirm whatever that has been found out. Number 23, payroll certificate signed after payments. So this was a non-compliance matter by the line managers, but we've since made sure that payroll certificates are distributed and delivered to the program managers, and we make sure that we receive them within the required prescribed time. Payroll signed after payment has been made is the same issue which relates to the previous matter, which is a non-compliance matter, and with the system that we've introduced of the way we're distributing and making sure that we follow up on those payroll certificates that have been introduced, that have been distributed, that is how we're hoping to make sure that that matter will be addressed. Verification on appointment of employees. This is a non-complex matter relating to issues of recruitment, and as the department, we acknowledge that we did not have an MOU with SAGA, but we've since made ensure that compliance in this regard will be followed by all the staff concerned. Prepayments incorrectly classified as operating. Again, here it was a matter that results to a lack of common interpretation of the prescripts, and the fact that people were not used into preparing financial statements, or one person would have been involved in preparing financial statements. But we've since said that we've referred back, as we are preparing our financial statements, we make sure that we refer back to the prescript and also get the assistance with the review teams that has been established to make sure everything is in order. In terms of no system in place to monitor performance targets, we've said that non-existence of the monitoring and tracking by the heads is what has actually led to this thing, because we also said it also results in line managers submitting late, and we also, there was no procedure for that, but we've since said that we've introduced the monthly milestone reporting systems. We've also developed an internal business process for management of the performance information, but the director strategic planning will also make sure that we all comply with what is required of us. No evidence in terms of the information, in terms of the performance information. We said that non-existence of monetary, again, it will be the same issues as this relates mainly to performance information. The same issues that we've just identified are the same issues that will actually cause this thing to happen, and the action, therefore, will be the same as the one that we've just indicated. In terms of making sure that our APP covers the MTF period, the cause for this, it was a matter of misinterpretation between the different between ourselves and the National Treasury. But we've then since made sure that this will be included in the APPs that will be following. And this, to make sure that this happens, we've also engaged with the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, and also Treasury, to make sure that things are in order. The targets also, information, something relating to performance information for those targets which were not achieved, we've since realized that this was mainly because of poor planning and insufficient budget implementation strategy. And then there was non-existence of monitoring, again, you know, the issue of making sure that we monitor our and the procedure manual that actually assists us in how do we handle the performance information. Those were not in existence, but we've since then introduced this milestone, this monthly milestone, to make sure that everybody gets track of what is happening within their unit, and there will be a big support from the director's strategic planning to make sure that we all comply. In terms of utilizing savings for environment, we said here again it was a matter of, you know, incorrect interpretation of the modified cash standard. And this also, the fact that there was no people who reviewed the statement, one person used to prepare the statements. Then there was also, we were not accustomed to preparing these financial statements, and that also maybe didn't make us aware as to what we should be preparing. But we've since then established this review team, and the staff has been trained to make sure that they do their proper work. So prior errors not disclosed in the annual financial statements, we've said that this is inability to produce the interim financial statements, which actually prepares us very well for the annual financial statements, and also assists us in making sure that we understand which accounting principles that are supposed to be applied when preparing financial statements. But then with the introduction of these review teams, we are hoping that we will be making sure that the financial statements are prepared properly, and the staff will also be trained to make sure that there's a full bench of people who are involved. The fixed asset matter, not balancing, we've said that is the whole matter of not being accustomed to preparing financial statements, the skills within the finance unit at the time, but with the introduction of the review teams and training of the staff, that matter, we are hoping to be resolved. The issue of the triple BEE points not being properly is also a supply chain matter, and in this instance, we are saying that the compliance checklist will make sure that this matter is addressed. In terms of leave not captured on regular basis, we acknowledge that the absence of leave procedure manual was one of the causes, and then the absence of the leave register from the business units, but also from the human resource management unit, resulted in all this. Then there was poor supervision of the leave management, and then there was late submission by the different line managers in terms of, so that's why HR couldn't capture these things on time. But we've then introduced this procedure manual, and we've introduced a register, and the leaves are now continuously being monitored. In terms of overtime not being in alignment with the one known, we are saying that there was no review, and the gap analysis was not done on our overtime policy to make sure what is it that is lagging behind. But we've seen that the overtime policy then is in the process of being reviewed to make sure that we comply. in terms of performance review, there was a lack of consequential management. That's what you've identified as one of the causes. However, to make sure that these matters are addressed, the HRM has actually prepared and sent the responsibility letters or the managers the letters for this matter. And we continue with internal PMDS, you know, where the sections will do their own internal before everything is sent to HR. And then we've also been workshopped on the issues. Most staff have been workshopped on the issue of how to handle PMDS, and HRM will continue to send letters to remind everybody when the due date is coming. The job description matter, we are saying that the department did not have a dedicated organizational development specialist. However, we've then since trained senior management in making sure that they also understand the matters relating to job description and evaluation. In terms of acting appointment letter not being authorized on time, we are saying that the delays in this instance was approval from the Office of the Executive Authority. Then the review for the Public Service Regulation Delegation has also been making sure that everybody will comply to that. Matters relating to IT, we've said that in terms of IT matters, there was over-reliance on CETA for provision of IT services. That is what actually made us to be in doing well in that area. But then recruitment of the director and the deputy director for IT has been finalized, and the strategic plan and the IT directorate is being developed. It's also a matter relating to IT. We are saying that is the whole issue of over-reliance on CETA, but we are saying then the department has appointed the GIC officer to develop policies and procedures to make sure that we comply. Yes, again, it's issues relating to IT. We've appointed the necessary people to make sure that the work will be done accordingly. Okay. Then, again, it's an IT matter. In addition to us relying on CETA, there was also absence of a master systems plan. But with the appointment of the necessary skilled people in IT, we are hoping that this matter will be attended to, and the business continuity and IT disaster recovery plan will also be made sure that it performs part of the plan. Thank you very much.
I think, Secretary, you want to add anything?
No, Chairperson.
Right. I think, maybe a few observations and then we'll go to questions. I think there are two important things from the presentation. Remember, we said we need the responsible person who's going to deal with it. Am I right to say this director we are going to appoint, is he going to be responsible for ensuring that all the AG's steps are followed up? And then a lot of your dates are very late in the financial year, some are even in the new financial year. Now, that will, of course, affect the capability of ensuring that you get them, a clean audit or a qualified audit. So I just want to have it in terms of the dates. Is it realistic? Then my first few questions to the Audit Committee. Now, Professor, I've looked at your report. Okay. And I've got some problems with the report in terms of the format. Because if I look at the reports of other departments, at a glance, I want to get a kind of state. What is the state of the department? Now, if I read this report, I'm not going to get the sense that there's a qualified report. What is the core issues? For instance, the membership. It must be included, the ex-officio members and their participation in the committee. I mean, that must be reflected, because that will give an indication to us whether the accounting officer is serious with the audit committee. You mentioned it in passing, but I think going forward we need a clear indication who attends, how many meetings, what is the issues. Then also, the audit committee is responsible for internal audit. We don't get any indication in your report what audit projects have been undertaken under review. Now, that should be surely be part of your report, because that's where we gather that and we can test it. So going forward, you need to also include that thing. With a lot of the issues on the table, I think it's important that there must be also other observations to say, well, we have picked up these and these issues and it needs attention. Because if I look at this format, it's impossible to determine the health of the department from a financial and risk point of view. So I just want to make that point. And the final point from my side, before I go to Honorable Abatsi, is Honorable in front, is the issue of the financial statements. Now, It's clearly indicated in your report, Professor, that the Audit Committee have looked at the financial statements before it was submitted to the AG. But, I mean, clearly the material deficiencies. I just want to get a sense of what is your internal processes in the Audit Committee to evaluate those financial statements and ensure that it is okay to be submitted. Because my concern is, if the AG says to us as portfolio committees, the issue is oversight, accountability, these material statements, surely it should be the role of the audit committee to make sure that that set of statements is correct before it goes to the AG. So I just want to get a sense of what is your approach in dealing with it. Right, let's go to the other members. Honourable Molobatsi. In your front, please. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues and officials of the department. Chair, let me first indicate that as I came in, the report was already on. But Chair, I'm not sure whether I will have a comment or a question, because I think the whole presentation, I mean, for me, it's questionable. But I have noted a few things here. That one, I want to know as to how long have this non-compliance, or late submission of documents been taking place in that department, because I think some interventions could have been taken place. On page 6, bulletin 1-3, obvious, Chairperson, it looks like there was nobody there looking at the issues which were supposed to be handled. For instance, that of it says in the root cause, no dedicated personnel to validate the invoices. I don't understand why there was no person dedicated to do that. I don't understand that. Maybe we need some clarity on that, just to expatiate the reasons why. My third question, on page 8 as well. On page 8, no existence of monitoring and tracking of financial and non-financial information. I mean, even as a spaza shop operator would want to know as to how much income or how much I have brought in, how much I have spent. Unless if I do not understand these things, if I do not understand, my apology, you will forgive me for my ignorance. Lastly, Chairperson, it is about the overtime policy. What mechanism were used to pay the overtime, if ever there were any payments. Now, if there were no payments for overtime, now, what is the reason for the department now to to have the overtime policy. What informs this policy to be in place? So it's two questions in one. As to what mechanism have you used to pay overtimes? Because there was no policy. Now, what informs the policy now? Is there any research made to determine this policy? Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable Molebatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first one is, tell us about the accounting skills which were inadequate. What is the status of this environment now? My second one, you also speak of information that was not valid. Are you saying invalid information was submitted, which sounds very, very serious to me? Can you elaborate on this? My next one is, most, if not all, of your findings and your root causes are common sense. Why was this not picked up on time? My next one, how many chapters? Three. Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mamula, thank you. Honorable Molebatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. In slide 7, I see here on your implementation date, it's 1 October, 1 October, 4 November. Are you all of your action plan implemented? Because the date today is the 9th of November. In slide 8, on the findings, effective steps not taken to prevent irregular expenditure amounted to 22.2 million. Why are not effective steps taken? Because this 22 million is a large amount of money. My third question, in slide 12, you are talking about the training of the, we are talking about the task team in slide 12. Will you please indicate the members who will serve on the task team, focusing on reviewing the accuracy of actuarial list and what the development of a documented procedures for accruals entails? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ramatakani.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. My three questions. Let me start with the department presentation. The presentation, in its own defense, uses the word lack of common interpretation, lack of common understanding. If you deal with the issue of irregular expenditure or fruitless expenditure, it says it is lack of common understanding or lack of interpretation of treasury regulations. Now, I just want to understand, acting executive and the CFO. I thought that if anything, those regulations are fairly extensive. If you say there is a lack of common understanding or lack of interpretation, what do you really mean? Does the people who were doing the interpretation yesterday are going to then begin to we're going to rely on them to do the interpretation tomorrow? This is almost like a defense.
I just want to understand what really this lack of common understanding is. If it's, maybe you can elaborate, and why it is so. That's the your questions. The number have made note of this word, lack of common interpretation, lack of common understanding. It runs through the presentation. You are a civilian secretariat, and you have a responsibility. How can it be lack of common understanding and common interpretation on the issues? PMFA is very clear on some of these issues. The second one, Chair, I just want to go to the audit committee. Just to find out from the audit committee whether, in their opinion, there is clarity of role and responsibility, or their role, and the role of others, whether it's internal division, risk management, you're not falling on top of each other. Just want you to speak on that. And the second one to the audit committee, what procedure, or what is it that you follow to ensure that the recommendations of the AGs in terms of the findings are implemented? Is a really support on your view in terms of the implementation of that? The last one, the internal audit division, you say somewhere in your target, meeting targets, particularly when you say you out of 10, you have managed to meet 7. But when the AG makes his report, he disagrees with you. In fact, the AG says that there's no assurance. There is limited information and no assurances. And therefore, your target and your measure, your own measure, is falling flat. Now, I just want to understand from yourself, if you see the AG's report and you see when they say that they are concerned about assurances in terms of responses that you are giving in justifying what you said you met 7 out of 10 targets. Now, I just want to find out from you, why it is so? Is also another lack of measurability or lack of reliability, or basically the SMART principle issue? Is it that what is a problem? If you can just maybe enlighten me on those concerns. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I will just start by slide number 22 and 23, point 23 and 24. I think maybe it's a printing mistake there, because that seems to be one thing. Chairperson, it's sometimes very difficult to start asking questions if it is said there was no dedicated official to deal with some of these things. So find myself in a difficult position, because that means there was nobody who, it actually means there's nobody who can account, because there was nobody who is dedicated. But in any way, I will just try and try to understand. I will start with from page or slide number 14, I should think. I think the root cause is there. No. Yeah, from number 14 up to number 17. I don't think the root cause is there corresponds or correlates with the findings. All the way is late submission of the procurement request by land managers, non-compliance with treasury. And if I check the findings, Let's just take maybe number 15. Amount as per the quotation does not agree with the invoiced amount. And the root cause, according to me, surely can be late submission of procurement requests by land managers. The same applies to quotation awarded to a supplier without an original tax clearance certificate. And the root cause surely can be late submission of the procurement request by land managers. If I could get an explanation on that. And on page 7 and page 15, or rather the slide 7 and slide 15, just wanted to understand in the action plan, bullet point number 2 on slide number 7, develop a register for all disputed invoices with evidence to support such. Just to have an idea of what type of invoices are disputed and usually how does that happen? That you, who disputes, is it the department or is it, just to have an idea of what that means. And on 15, splitting of orders to avoid prescribed procurement processes. If this happens, it means it's a deliberate act. Sure, you can't do it by mistake, if I understand it correctly. It means you want to avoid something, and I would also like to understand how such a thing happens and under what situations do you find this type of avoidance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbele.
Thank you, Chairperson. My three questions for this first round, just on the first point, as we all know and remember, it's been 2 years since the Civilian Secretariat became a designated department, and unfortunately they're still getting just the basics wrong. It's a very unfortunate picture that we're seeing 2 years down the line, and my main concern at this point that I want to start with is in terms of supply chain management, procurement, and contract management, which came up a couple of times in the findings. And my simplistic reading of what lies at the root of this, and obviously highlighted also in the AG reports, either people in the supply chain management environment are not fit for purpose, and they don't know how to do the job because there's a lack of that capacity. Or they know how to do the job, but they get overridden at various points and in various ways to override, to push through non-compliance contracts or SCM processes, or a mixture of the two. And so I would like to find out which of those is it. Do the people not know how to do the job, or they do know, but they get overridden? And there are sometimes good reasons to deviate, obviously, but we need clarity on that, because this is becoming systemic and entrenched, and is covering far too much ground, so we need to get that looked at. So, is there a fitness for purpose issue and a capacity issue, or is there a more of an interference and an overriding of the ability of those systems to operate in a compliant fashion? My second question, Chair, is I just went back to the budget presentation that we had received on the period under review. from what I can see, 43 million of the pre-adjustments budgets was for goods and services. And the AG found 22 million rand in irregular expenditure. So effectively half of all the monies that were spent through SCM were irregular expenditure, which is a big proportion. Now, given that the Secretariat is not a delivery department, it raises the question, who are these service providers that are getting these problematic contracts? And that's what I would like some clarity on, because, you know, in terms of the work of the department around intersectoral coordination and partnerships, legislation and policy development, and civilian oversight, monitoring and evaluation, those are all presumably internal functions that department officials carry out. So there isn't a great deal of scope to be at great risk of having to deal with too many contractors. So who is getting these contracts that are, when you unpack them, they're found to be non-compliant and resulting in irregular expenditure? And there's a whole host of issues, obviously, that were highlighted, from tax clearance certificates to all the issues that were highlighted. Because I'm less interested in the details, because there's a lot of them, but they all boil down to and distilled down to whether or not the basics are observed in the management of those processes. And then my third question, Chair, is that the Civilian Secretariat Act requires that a permanent secretary be appointed within a year of the vacancy occurring. And it's been almost 2 years since Ms. Irish Kuboshiane left the position in 2014. So the position, so firstly, the minister is in contravention of that requirement by statute. But in the time since, we've had two acting secretaries. And the AG, in their analysis, mentioned that one of the top three root causes in the police portfolio include instability in senior positions. So my question specifically for the audit committee, if I can direct it there, is how much of the challenges that you have encountered and identified concerning audit risk mitigation would you attribute to this leadership instability as a prime factor? And if it is a glaring one, as I believe it certainly seems to be, have you taken up this issue with the minister, and what has been his response to your approaches or requests? Because the power to address that lies solely with him. Thanks, Chair.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I'm referring to slide number 38. Job descriptions not reviewed for 3 years. I just wanted to know which areas or department were affected by this. And then I can see also that there must be a payment for those particular people who are doing that services. How were they paid? Because they didn't have the job description. Similarly, this, it affects the payroll. Because certain money must be paid to the people who are rendering the services. And they are now referring to its root cause. The department does not have a dedicated organizational development specialist. How long has this been dragging before they can get a development specialist? Who can look or take care for that? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members for the questions. Let's go to the Acting Secretary and the Chairperson of the Board for the responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to some of the questions, and then I will ask my colleagues to come up. Mostly the CFO the strategic plan director, and some of the questions are referred to the audit committee, and also the internal audit. They will respond to some of those questions. The issue about lack of or different interpretations of the regulations. I'll give you an example. There was an imbizo that we had, and we requested quotations that will look into the issue of the procurement of the tent, the issue of supply of water, the stage, different requests were made, which you would expect that those supplies might come from different people, including catering. So the procurement, the people submitted the quotations, and there were different suppliers. But the same the supplier that ended up being given the those tenders ended up coming lower, but have quoted on each one of them, which we expected that to be separate. And our officials, the finance officials, said that these are different goods and services that you are procuring. But the AG said, no, because this is one event, you send a quotation to suppliers and you only look into suppliers that can deliver everything. Once you end up giving the one supplier who end up getting most of those things, it means that that is the split. That is one of the interpretation that was a problem as an example. The other example is on the issue of the legal fees that we had, using the suspense account and saying that we will get refunded from SAPS for the legal fees, because the minister requested us to procure those services. So in terms of the interpretation, even when we put it as a receivable in our books, and they indicated that if you haven't received the confirmation to say payment will be made, you can't put it in the receivables, even though you are still in a process of trying to get that. And during the in the process, SEPS ended up agreeing that no, they are going to pay. So that amount was moved out. So it's those kind of interpretation that is there, which for now, I think going forward, we won't have issues, because we are on the same wavelength with the AG. The other question that I want to deal with is the issue of the people in supply chain. Are they not fit for purpose, or they get this interference that happens, or somebody overrides them in the process? We've done an investigation in line with the resolution of the audit and risk committee to start the process of taking disciplinary action. I've got the report. I think at this point, in terms of the disciplinary process, will tell us whether is it a skills issue or is it because they were forced to do things the wrong way, or for whatever motives and for their own benefits, they decided to not follow the rules. So the report is there now. It's a matter of the employer representative is there who is going to deal with this issue. We are in a process of negating the presiding officer. I will look into each one of the cases. We actually identified a number of those cases that we will deal with that issue. So at this moment, I can't say which one is that, but I think the disciplinary process will assist us. On the issue of instability, at the top, the interviews for the position of the secretary took place a week ago. So I'm sure we will be finalizing that by the end of this month. You will have a permanent secretary going forward. That's just a report. I will hand over to my colleagues to actually respond on some of the questions.
Thank you, Acting Secretary. Who's going to be first? Mr. Basson?
Thanks, Chair. I just want to respond to the issue around information that is not valid. Prior to the arrival of the current Acting Secretary, I think September month last year, we did not have a system where performance information is being verified after being submitted by business unit heads by internal audit. Now, we have this practice since last year that we submit quarterly reports and even annual report information to the Director for Strategic Planning with the profile of evidence from these units, and then it is submitted to internal audit, who then verifies the evidence versus the information supplied. What we have discovered is that, and that is why the finding was information not valid, is for instance, units will, for instance, submit evidence that a report that is supposed to be finished at the end of September and approved, the report will be approved in the first week of October. Then it means that if it is approved in the first week of October, but it was supposed to be submitted and approved at the end of September, then internal audit then highlighted to us that that particular information was invalid. And I think through various workshops we had up till now, the last one was on the 3rd of November with TPME and National Treasury, we are going to improve, and we have improved since then with the validation of information. Like I say, it was a matter of, because sometimes even when a document or a report is submitted at the very last end of a particular quarter, when it reaches the office of the accounting officer, and he or she question some of the issues in the report is being sent back, and I think that we have come now to a conclusion that that units, for instance, well, within their own sphere, in terms of the new monthly reporting system, they will, for instance, set dates for themselves when will reports within the units be finalized before it is sent to the accounting officer. So the issue was around the process of internally of the validation of those reports and those performance information.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members, colleagues. I'll try to answer. The Secretary has answered to most of some issues relating to finance, but maybe I need to talk to matters relating particularly to irregular expenditure, and you will realize that that irregular expenditure is also linked to issues of us not being able to pay surplus within 30 days. The matter of the irregular expenditure, it relates to a travel agency which was appointed by the department without actually following the bidding process. And as you can imagine, that all the traveling and accommodation that was done by the department, because the supplier was not appointed through the bidding processes, then that means that everything that was procured through that supplier, then it's irregular. And this irregular of 22 million is not only over a single year, it's over a couple of years since the secretariat was established. So we've been using that supplier, and then up to date. And in that process also comes issues relating to disputed invoices, because you realize that that same supplier, even today, they're still submitting invoices which they feel they were not paid. So those are the kind of invoices that we dispute with them to say, but these invoices were paid, and we have to get all the verified information to say that, yes, of course, these invoices. So those would be most of our disputed invoices that results to this late payment of suppliers within 30 days. I think, I've touched most of them, but I'll see if I've missed any.
Acting Secretary.
Okay. Maybe just to add on others. The issue of overtime, the Chief Director, Corporate Services will deal with that. The comments of the chair in terms of the dates that they are too late into the year and some into the new financial year. As you have seen in the program, we have started implementing some of the issues. Some of the work, it's something that you can't immediately implement. That's why it actually ran into the new financial year. Issues of training, issues of having systems in place, are things that actually take longer. there was also a question from the chair regarding the director appointed. Is that person going to be responsible for the actions on the AGSA finding? With the respect to IT, yes, the person will be responsible for the specific issues that relate to the IT section, and for the other areas, it will be the responsibilities of the managers that we have put them. How long have this non-compliance been taking place? We became a department from the 1st of April 2014. And I think one of the things that put us where we are is that when the Act was passed, there was no proper preparation to make sure that all the systems are in place. And when the Act is passed from 2011, when it says you have 3 years to put your house in order, we only started putting our house in order when we became a department. I think the over-reliance on SAP's processes was the main issue, because after the legislation was passed, we still were relying on SAPs and we relaxed, and now we have to be accountable for our own budget and processes. So that's the main issue. And the legislature really anticipated this thing. To have an organization in place, it's not a one overnight process. That's why they say you have got 3 years that you put your house in order. And because of the delay in terms of doing that, that's why we find ourselves in this problem. the issue of under page 6, the CFO, you need to address that issue that no dedicated personnel. You need to expatiate on that that one. And also, what are the accounting skills that are inadequate? we can just differentiate on that one. And there was also the question regarding the invalid information that was supplied. You answered that one. Okay, thanks. Just want to check which ones should be dealt with. There's an issue that was raised regarding the internal audit. If you can deal with that, Mr. Mudau. In terms of non-compliance, there's a question raised that why were effective steps not taken? We are taking effective steps. And I think the issue about changes in terms of leadership has got its own challenges. Right now, as I'm indicating, there's a disciplinary process that is taking place. There are people that who have committed acts of misconduct who, just before I came here, there was a written warning that I gave to an employee. So we are starting to make sure that there's consequence management. The accrual lease, can you also deal with that, CFO? Is the issue about the finding not talking to the root cause? Would you like to deal with that? Because some of the things you find that it actually you need that base before you go to the next level. But the CFO will explain that. The issue of the job description, the Chief Director Corporate Services will deal with it.
Okay, thank you very much, Secretary. I like to add on what the Secretary has indicated, that our over-reliance on subs in the past had a lot of effects on things that are today, you know, happening. And if, for an example, one look at the question that was raised by, I think it was Honorable Mauma Pelo around the issue of job descriptions, it is as a result of that before 2014, the department was a cost center. Most of your functionaries, your OD specialists, your practitioners in the different areas, were supplied by SAFs themselves. So as a result, when we became a designated department, those people had now to leave us and stay with SAFs. Unfortunately, the problem was in our establishment, there was no provision for such skills. I need to immediately come in by indicating that that does not mean that even though there was a finding that says that job descriptions were not reviewed within 3 years, that posts did not have job descriptions. They did have job descriptions, and they continue to have those job descriptions. However, the department did not comply in as far as this standard is concerned that says for every 3 years, you need to review the job descriptions. So currently, we have obtained approval from the minister in order to can have this particular post in our establishment. The minister has approved that, and there are efforts to ensure that within this current financial year, that particular functionary would be appointed so that they can then be able to address this problem. Coming to the concern that was raised by Honorable Mabuda in terms of slide 32 on finding 36 about overtime. Also, it doesn't mean that the department did not have a policy on overtime. The policy is there. However, the AG's concern was the fact that in this policy, there was no provision of the part that says SMS members, your senior management services members,
are not supposed to be paid overtime. So all that they want was just add that particular part that says your SMS members are not supposed to be getting overtime payment. And therefore, we are addressing that, even though here we have said this will be done by the end of this financial year. We have already agreed as a unit that this must be addressed before the end of December. Because it's just a small thing, just to include it, to say, SMS members, you are not supposed to be getting this overtime payment. Non-SMS members are getting overtime payment according to this particular policy. So everything in terms of that policy is done accordingly. Thanks.
Right. Other responses? Internal audit, and then the CFO, please. Thank you.
Thanks, honorable members. Maybe before I respond to my question, I just want to highlight the issue of road costs to the members. For example, the one raised where Honorable Mbele said that the road costs and the finding do not actually correlate. Let me begin by saying this is not this is the first time I think the department is actually coming up with these issues to identify the root cause, and it's not an easy part. I'm talking now from the internal auditing point of view. When we conduct internal audits, this is one area where, in my experience of over 20 years as internal audit, we fight with management in terms of what is the real root cause. So. But I think, given the fact that they were doing this for the first time, because if you look at the AG root causes, you can see that they are not real root causes. They just put opposite of the finding as a root cause of what should have been done. But from my observation, as that they were doing it for the first time, I identified that there is a bit of improvement, but there is still a lot room for improvement. But if we come to this finding where, for example, it says they awarded the business without having a tax clearance certificate, and they put the root cause as late submission of the procurement requested by land managers. I'm not saying that this is an underlying root cause, because as you probe more, you get you actually end up having a real root cause. But this is part of the root, of the process that you can actually get to the root cause. For example, when they say late submission of procurement requested by land managers, you find that land managers submitted the request maybe a day before the safety is supposed to be rendered. And as a result, the procurement unit, they don't have sufficient time now to check whether the service provider that is being given task, job, does meet all the requirements, because they were given very little time, to check whether there is adequate compliance. So, but I think this is the area that if management can do much, because once you know your problem, you're able to address a challenge. And from internal auditing point of view, in our audit, we actually don't just ask what is the root cause. We observe the process. And on the basis from planning to execution, you can say this is not the root cause. The root cause is this, for example, ineffective leadership. So I just wanted to highlight the issues of root cause. And I think it cut across throughout. But I think they tried their best, but this is not best enough. I'm sure they are still going to do more. But coming back to the issue of internal audit, I think, Honorable, we have a serious challenge with Auditor General. It's an educational issue. And the reason being that, as one having external auditing experience, I'm able to understand why external OGSA has their own understanding of what they expect from internal audit. For example, simple thing, they raise about 5 findings about internal audit without having any engagement with internal audit. So when I received the query, I went to their office and I spent about 2 hours educating them, because our standards and their standards are not the same. Our standards, we drive our plan from the strategic risk assessment. And you may find that as we are doing this assessment, you find that the risk, one of the risks, for example, says the department does not have ITC. It is in our strategic risk assessment. Then AG issue a finding and say the internal audit did not review the information and communication system. Now, when internal, when there is no system in place, for example, if the residual risk is high, in other words, a risk after looking at the process in place. So internal audit, in terms of the international auditing standards, we don't conduct any audit because there is no system in place. In other words, if we conduct any audit, we are just going to report the obvious. That if you can see here, the issue of finding which says internal audit did not review the ITC, or the internal audit plan was not informed by, it's not in line with the PFMA. So I took the standards of internal auditing standards, the internal auditing charter, the audit committee charter, which was also approved by the and the PFMA, and I took them through, and as a result of that, they had to remove all those findings. So, for example, they will say internal audit did not conduct assurance around fixed assets. And we find, for example, as we are doing strategic risk assessment workshop, fixed assets were not part of were not actually the areas of concern in terms of the risk assessment. So, therefore, internal audit will hardly deploy their resources. But what we do over and above that, because we know general across the country now, in our department in particular, that we've been getting qualification for the past 2 years in a row. So when we receive internal report from HSA, we conduct an audit to check whether all the system that the management says is going to implement or not, and then we issue a report. And we issue a report regarding about 47 findings that were issued by the Auditor General for funding for financial year 14 and 15. And the report says the department is not doesn't have adequate and effective system to address the HSA. Already we qualify that management is not doing much to address those challenges. So I think, but we did a lot of audits around financials. We did procurement audit with assistance from Deloitte & Touche, and they issued a very, it was not a good report, around the whole range about procurement from ordering, receiving of goods, payments for goods and services with regard to, which result in regular expenditure, the whole process. And we also did an audit around human resource management, and it was also qualified. In other words, it was a negative audit outcome from internal auditing perspective. We also do one of the audits that we did, which was very, very important, is corporate governance. There were about 24 findings where we said management is not doing well on this and this and that. And they have they gave us the management action plan, and they're busy implementing those. So I think the issue of assurance from AG is ongoing thing that we are continuously engaging one another in terms of what is the role of internal audit and what is, for example, just to give you a worst case scenario, you might find that we are doing in for the whole financial year, there is absolutely no audit around financial audit. Because as we are doing strategic risk assessment, because the risk assessment is done from the, we look at the strategic objectives, and we find that 99% of the audits which are in the audit plan, there is no financial audit at all. That does not mean that internal audit did not do its job. Because internal audit's work is not actually, the base of internal audit is not around financials. It's around the organization as a whole. Because we continuously advise management whether they will be able to achieve its mandate, which is set in the strategic plan of the organization.
CFO, and then the chairperson of the audit committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. I think my colleagues and the secretary did mention the issue of the recourses. I think one of the examples that he made is the whole issue of the split of orders. How does it then relate to the late submission? As is indicated, that you'll find that we've got an imbizo, then you get to one code for this being agent, and then you get the next code for that being agent. But when AG then comes, find that, but all these costs, they're related to one imbizo. And therefore, maybe a tender process should have been followed rather than requesting quote for the different services that were offered in that imbizo. So those are the issues. That is why then you said maybe it goes back to the issue of late submission. The issue of dedicated personnel for internal control, I think this one is, it will relate to issues of internal. So if you look at the reasons why we pay suppliers late, when you look at it, it's a very, very simple thing. Why a simple thing? Issues relating to bank details of a supplier. You'll find that some of the suppliers, we pay them late because of issues relating to bank details. But how does this happen? What happens is that at the department, we haven't yet implemented Logis, and the only system that you rely on is BES. And now, when you go and pay onto BES system, then only the if we had Logis would have actually verified the bank details of the supplier, whether it will work or not. But now when you went straight to BEST, then only then you pick up that the supplier's bank details are not correct. And then you have to go back to the supplier and try to get them to get to the bank. And during that process, you find that still, because if you go to BEST and there's even just a dot different from the original, the way the bank was, then that thing will always be rejecting it. So now what we've then, since then, we've identified one of our staff members to say, even before the bank details can be captured, we get that person to actually punch in their bank details into BEST to make sure that if those bank details will work when the payment is happening. So that is the dedicated person that we've done. We didn't get any additional person, but we just deployed one of our colleagues to have that extra function for himself. On issues of accounting, maybe accounting skills, maybe one of the simplest things is the issue of, as the department, we normally do prepayments for the parking. So now we pay the supplier in advance for this. And as the department, we've recorded this in the past as an expenditure. Yet, that is not actually an expenditure. It's supposed to be a current asset because that money still belongs to the, it's still part of the current asset of the department because it's not yet an expenditure. So those are the issues that you will see, that there were lack of accounting skills, because something that could have been easily been an asset to the department is now recorded as an expenditure. Issues relating to accruals. The accruals at the department, the way we used to look at the accruals, we only used to look at the invoices that are received, and also only on the invoices that have been captured but are waiting approval. Then we face the lag whereby we've got accruals which relate, and that will happen mostly with your travel agency, where you'll find that services have already been rendered, but it's only that we haven't yet received the invoice for that. So that was not in the past recorded as part of the accruals. So that is where we miss some of the accruals. So we've since then made sure that from both the supply chain side as well as the team that you're talking about, we've got somebody in supply chain who must actually identify those services which would have been rendered, and yet the invoices have not been received. And then on the accounting side, we've got another supervisor who's also responsible for these payments that are awaiting authorization and those invoices that would have been received and not paid by them. Then the two come together, and then we have the senior managers for that to review that, and eventually it goes to the office of the CFO. This is done on a monthly basis to say, what were those which were outstanding at the end of the month? And it is something that was never done previously that is done monthly. We used to wait until the financial year to try and capture all these things, but now we are trying to do it on a monthly basis. The issue related, that talks to the review team that I was talking about. Like we said, the financial statements in the past, they used to be prepared by one official, but we've since made sure that the financial statement, it was a senior person, but we've now made sure that it has cascaded down to the people at the lower level to be the ones who prepare this financial statement, so that the senior management can actually review this financial statement before they can be even taken out to the internal audit for them to review. So that is the review team that we're talking about in terms of making sure that we've got the review team. Thank you very much.
Chairperson of the Audit Committee.
Honourable Chair, I'm trying to answer the questions in the sequence as they were asked. The first question came from you as Chair regarding the, let's say, the format of the Audit Committee report. I must give you just some background. The Audit Committee meeting was planned for, I think, the 29th of July, right at the end of the financial year, as the financial statements were not ready. On that specific meeting, there was difference between the AG and management regarding that specific data, IPIT, and a lot of other things. We also realized that the financial statements at that point in time were not properly prepared. We clearly informed management that it should be rectified, and we advised them that they should make use of consultants, external people to have a look at it. Management decided not to do it, and I got the impression that they referred it to internal audit. Our view on this was, it's not a responsibility of internal audit to check the financial statements, the finals, as they are not financial people. They are internal auditors. What then happened is, okay, we couldn't finalize it at that specific day, but we had to, let's say, approve the financials before it's published. Then the AG, Treasury, as well as management, they were at loggerheads. How are we going to deal with this, and will it be a qualification or not a qualification? And then it should be round robin. That process didn't take place. So up to this point in time, Chairperson, we haven't seen the audit committee report. You refer, the names are not there. Wow. I don't know who prepared the audit committee report. You will also see, I'm sure, the audit committee report is not signed. You know? So management, let's say the department and secretariat themselves, without interacting with the audit committee, prepare the audit committee report and put it in the annual financial statements.
No, I must say on that point, that is totally unacceptable.
I know, but I'm just telling the truth, you know, what happened. Also, on the 31st of May, we had the same problem. Before it is submitted to management, to the AG, the financials were not finalized. Again, management tried to convince us that they're going to rectify, they'll be doing it overnight and all these type of things. And without the audit committee having signed off the draft annual financial statements.
Just a moment, Honorable Malabatsi.
Yeah, Chairperson, this is unacceptable. This is not a complaint session, you know. You should have dealt with these things outside before they come here. We can't be listening to complaints.
No, but it's important that we know that. Because, I mean, part of the Portfolio Committee's oversight mandate is we want to ensure that the audit committees function effectively. I remember we sent police back last week. I don't know what's going to happen after tea. But the reality is if the audit committee's got a problem, they must inform this committee. They must inform this committee if there's such issues, that we can deal with it proactively. Because now the report has been tabled in Parliament, it's been submitted, and now after the fact. But then, I think, Polabasi, the chair must indicate what is the issue.
You know, I'm just trying to be very open on what happened, and I really appreciate that you take it like that. Then I would just like to jump to what is the procedures of the audit committee regarding the findings of the AG. The department, they have a tracking list. You've seen all these findings. For me, it is just symptoms. The real root cause is leadership, especially from the financial section. That's where the root cause of all these aspects. We're not talking difficult aspects. It is plain things that went wrong. So we had our first meeting more or less 2 weeks ago on the findings of the AG. We got that the strategic plan, but just in a different format. We rejected it. So listen, this is not going to make any changes. It was changed by the department, and I must say at this point in time, it's a much better document, but still huge shortcomings. For instance, who's the responsible person? You know, without that, it might be all the same person. And then I say, well, how's this person going to manage to do all these things? Also the date. So the process is to close the loop, and then we are waiting for internal audit to report back. When the department is saying done, we would like to have it from the internal audit in writing that that specific aspect is done.
Maybe I'll just point before you continue. I think this is going to be the third time. We not necessarily call the department, but we want the third updated document with the issue of who is the responsible manager. Because in some instances, of course, that director will look at it, but some of the instances is line function or it's the CFO. And we want it in the document. I mean, I've indicated 3 weeks ago when you sent you back. And again, it's not in. I think really there should be adherence to the directives that's given by the committee. So yeah,
I want to just further mention on that meeting. It was 2 weeks ago. That was our first meeting after the 31st of July meeting. We got the draft report for the 6 months. We had a look at audit committee, and we, let's say, our opinion on it was adverse. We were very concerned. At that point in time, it was unfortunate the CFO wasn't available. He was overseas at that specific point of time, and we advised the department to correct that half-year financial statements, get extension, and submit it to Treasury. So they are currently in that process to change it, to correct it, and submit it to National Treasury.
I just want to indicate, the document that was just distributed is just next week's document for members' purpose. Remember, we're calling SAPS back. But it's also a very good tool to see how such a report should be done in terms of who's the responsible person on the timeline, but it's for next week. You can continue.
Thanks. There was also a question asked how much of the findings relates to leadership. I can't remember one of my colleagues then. I think it's a very valuable question that was asked. Of course, I must make a guess. I would like to say 60 to 80% of the findings directly relate to leadership. And when I'm talking that, it's specifically on the financial side, there's a lack of discipline. There's a lack of energy to ensure that the documents are submitted, the right dates, and submitted to the audit committee, submitted to Treasury, all these type of things. I would like to say 60 to 80% of the findings of the AG relates to management in general, but in specific to finances. And there we had an acting CFO without real, let's say, financial skills, and he was there for 2 years. Okay, that's that one. Then there was also a question, one of our colleagues to the oversight, I can't remember who asked it, and that was, did the audit committee have clarity of their role and responsibilities? It is our opinion, but it is, you know, you shouldn't ask the milkman where the milk is healthy, you know. But from my point of view and knowing my fellow audit committee members, my own experience on, I would like to say, at least 14 different audit committees, we exactly know what our responsibilities are. So from our side, it can always, of course, improve. Let's not, I'm not disputing that, but we really know what we are doing. So that was the four questions that came to my side.
Sorry, it's a two-finger on the response from the audit committee chair. That's the other aspects of my question around leadership issues in general was also the role or lack thereof in from the minister's side in assisting or in reaching out and trying to interact and get some account of some assistance from that perspective.
Just a quick one, Chair. I just want to ask Professor, the Audit Committee Chair. It's a relatively small committee. The issue about the Audit Committee report you don't know about. I just want to find out from you, sir, whether as the Audit Committee, saying that you understand your function, you're very clear about it. Now, did you
take the time to actually, as a structure, write a report on about your function that was supposed to be part of the audit, the annual report. Because I want to ask that question because I want to find out why is it that management had to write your report and you don't sign the report and then you get a shock about it. So maybe if you could answer that question, where were you? In other words, I'm asking, where were you? Were you sleeping behind the wheel or what happened?
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is almost similar like Honorable Ramatakani's question. Because mine is to say, as things were happening, things like lack of management that you mentioned and so on, did you try and bring this to the attention of the management?
Bunda? Thanks, Chair. I will have one follow-up question. But, Chair, this presentation does not give hope to the people of South Africa. I must be frank and be open. The Secretariat spoke about, just imagine, 3 years preparing the office for the department. It's a short period, according to the manner in which he presented and the way I understood him to be saying. But I think 3 years, Chair, 3 years doing the correct things is enough. Because during that 3 years term, you will have identified some skills shortage and stuff like that. Now, here, it looks like this department doesn't have the personnel with the right skills. Did the department submitted a request or a notice to the principals to say, this is the department we have reached so far, but we realize that there is a shortage of skills, because one of the presenters or respondents said the personnel with the right skills decided to remain with the subs. Now, going forward with the department without people who will carry out the responsibilities which are supposed to be carried by the skilled people, I think that in itself was a recipe for disaster. That is the reality of what we see today. But as a comment, Chair, I don't think we need to talk about the schools of thoughts as to who does things correct, who does things wrong. Because we as politicians, what we expect from you is to present issues which are simple so that we are able to play our oversight role. Because we do not have the skills that you have, but you can assist us so that we play an overall side in this department. Because competing with the skills, competing with the school of thoughts, this one does not know this one, we are not interested in that. But what we are interested of is that, what is it that is happening in this department? Are you able to account for what you are mandated to do. That is what I think we should do, Chairperson. Thanks.
Is there any other questions from members? Yes, follow-ups, Honorable Ramalekani, will then come back to the department and the audit committee. Yes.
Yes, not that question I asked the audit committee is a question I also want to equally ask the acting head. How is it that the department just prepared a report for the audit committee and then submitted, purporting it to be a audit committee report when indeed it was not?
Just a moment, Professor. I just want to get a sense from members if there's any other follow-ups at this stage. Now let's get the responses.
Just a follow-up on this one. When the chairperson mentioned right at the beginning, you know, the format, the names are not there, and so forth, and it's, et cetera, it's not signed. I haven't seen the annual report, but the head of internal audit just gave it to me, and everything is in there. I even signed it on the 4th of August, and the names are all also there. But it took a few days. Normally we sign it at the end of July, but there were still discussions between the AG and management. So the audit committee prepared this report and signed it. I'm so sorry for that. I just took what you've said and responded on that one.
So you said this committee report is yours?
Yes, yes, yes.
But I mean, as I indicated, there's serious defects that must be rectified. Those issues that
I've raised. Now, fully agree with that, but, you know, the others, the signing, the names, the meetings, etc., they're all there.
Thank you, sir. I think maybe in terms of preparing the report, we are actually guided by Treasury regulations. That is why I found that, you know, the specimen of how the report is written is due to the guidelines that are given to us. So maybe that is why that again was the question as to why we did not include other matters. But as I mentioned to you, in accordance with the guidelines from Treasury. Then also when it comes to the question that was asked, I think, by Mr. Maite, to say that the root causes did not correlate to the findings. I think that is correct in the sense that we did raise this with management. Unfortunately, as the professor has mentioned, at the time when we had the meeting, most of the senior management were not available. And then we did mention to the members that were not happy with the way the report is done, because if one looked at the root causes, root causes is not something that can be manufactured. Those are factual things. Because, for example, if they say root cause is non-compliance with national treasury prescripts, that is not the root cause, because that is what the Auditor General is reporting on, to say you are not compliant. So the root cause in this instance would have been to say that, okay, we don't have policy and procedures, for example, in terms of payment in 30 days. So once you've got a policy, the policy will say that we need to pay our suppliers in 30 days, and the procedures will be there to say how do you go about paying those supplies in 30 days. Well, you'll have to introduce a register, you'll have to age those suppliers and make sure that each and every one is paid within the specific date. But at the moment, we do not have this in place. So those are some of the issues that we mentioned that we need to make sure that they become more detailed, so that they should be able to talk to each other. And then the implementation would be the specific person who would be responsible for doing it. Thank you.
Honorable Mula, before I go to the Acting Secretary, and then Honorable Ramalekani, also follow up, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. But it's wrong for Professor Dijager to mislead us. What if Mr. Tao was not having a signed copy, you would have misled us. It's wrong. It's unacceptable, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Ramalekani.
Chair, I just want to ask this question. The question from the acting as well as the audit committee chair. What you've just heard and what we've been discussing for now, for a few minutes now, up to the point of the report, it may suggest to me that this professional relationship between the audit committee and the department, it's not good. Am I correct in that conclusion, or am I just overreacting? But to me, it suggests a relationship, professional relationship, because there has to be that cordiality. Am I right or wrong?
Thank you, Chair. From my experience, I must say that our relationship with the department is very cordial and very good, in the sense that we do meet with them, and if ever there are problems, we do discuss issues with them. I think through our chairperson, he does also make sure that he meets with the secretariat and also with the auditor general. So unless if maybe it's something that you are not aware of, based on face value, we've never had any problems with the department. And then everything has been on par. Probably maybe if through oversight, something that I'm not aware of, but I'm speaking on behalf of my subordinate.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. I think I do want to echo Mr. Mutuba's comments that I think the relationship is cordial. When the committee started, I was chairing the Risk Management Committee as a specialist in the field. And what I uncovered is that there was a lack of understanding of a simple thing as an internal control. You know, people understood that there are internal controls, but they would place internal controls that are not very verifiable. And we started to workshop and talk through the issues of what is a verifiable control that you can actually put in your register, that internal audit can go and test, that can be further submitted to the audit committee. At that point, it was just an audit committee. And then at a later stage, through discussing issues of governance and size of the department, we consolidated, or the department decided then to take a resolution to consolidate the audit and risk committee into the committee that you see today. But I think the issues of late submissions have always been talked about. It's like pulling teeth when you have to extract information. And I think sometimes it comes from the lack of capacity at the department. People that know things are very thinly spread. For instance, internal audit manages risk management as well. Whereas risk management is a management function which is supposed to be a red flag for management to fix things before internal audit comes to give an assurance. So Mr. Mudau is wearing both of those hats, and sometimes he's unable to give a red flag and give assurance at the same time, and he has to do it to the committee. And really it becomes a difficult thing to go through. And one of our desires and the aspirations to capacitate those key governance departments and to capacitate that financial department so we can begin to actually see issues of compliance being unrooted in the department. And I think that's what we're starting to do. But in terms of relationship, I think we're there. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, looking at relationship with the audit committee and management, I think we can have a look at it from two sides. The one is being too close to management, a very cozy type of relationship. You know, that's the one that we might have a major problem with when that's the case. And the other one is a real professional relationship. And I can confirm my 2 years at the audit committee The audit committee is not afraid to put things straight based on the reports of internal audit, and management was always willing to listen, as also indicated in our report that management will have a look at the deficiencies and so forth. So from my side, none of the two relations, the one, there is not such a one as a cozy relationship, but we have a very professional relationship with management. That's my feeling.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. I think when the professor said his report, he didn't approve it. I assure members here I would have just put my resignation, because from where I come from, it's unacceptable that we submit to this to Parliament a report which includes something that has not been approved. And actually, my reaction was just going to be, from here I will talk to the minister and say I've done something totally unacceptable. I actually didn't even read what is in his report, because when I was approving, because I want that to be independent, that I didn't have any question on it. He interacted with the internal audit in terms of the reporting lines, the dotted line. He reports directly, and they talk about how that report is going to be done. I'm happy that that issue has been solved.
So that is the report that's in the annual report that has been signed off.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
On the issue of Honourable Mabunda raised, the 3 year being short period, I didn't say it's short period. On our side, when we were given that 3 years from 2011 to 2014, I think we relaxed a lot. We should have used that time to build up this institution and making sure that the systems are in place. Now we are fixing as we go. We are learning and putting systems as we go. That's why we have this challenge that we have, and it's a very difficult issue. So we lost that, but that's water under the bridge. Now we are focusing on making sure that the systems are in place to deal with the issues. The relationship with the audit committee, for me, I see that as a very professional, very open relationship. And when they make decisions, even if I might have a different approach, when I go back to my managers, I say this must be implemented, because it's a resolution of the audit and risk committee. I haven't seen any tensions or that the relationship is not good from where I sit. But I think now that the issue has been raised, we will, when we go back, have to engage with the audit committee, because we have never touched on the issues of relationship. We only focus on the work that needs to be done. But sometimes it's very important that you deal with those issues, so that any perceptions, any misunderstandings are addressed upfront, and it's things doesn't have to be raised when we come to the portfolio committee. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Members, we're going to take 10 minutes tea, and then we come back to wrap up the process for any further questions and responses. 10 minutes. Thank you very much.
No. I just heard the word resignation, and I was like, I'm not here for this, I'm here for IPAs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the chairperson of the audit committee said they submitted a report and he didn't sign off on it.
Okay.
So then it was actually a mistake, and he did sign off on it.
So what was he talking about, resignation?
The man said if that did happen, he would have resigned.
Okay. So I don't have to be following this.
No.
I haven't been paying any attention to it. do you think McGrath matter will be brought up?
It's quite fascinating that committees don't interact with audit committees on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
And I bet you these kind of things are happening in all departments, especially entities.
I was yesterday at Water, and obviously they reported on entities as well. And the committee was surprised that the audit committee for Water has been doing cases into 264 staff members since 2009. This is the first time they heard about it. And you know, Water's like leaking all this money, so do you think they should be meeting more?
Yeah.
Didn't Jackson say they want to meet less so they can have more constituency days? Which I think is a waste of time. What do you think?
Oh, I can't believe.
Oh, it's Donald Trump.
I actually prayed about it.
Is it? I don't know, maybe this is God handing over the Americans to what they want.
I think the war's ending. I truly think the war's ending.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. I mean, he's going to find roadblocks in the law. It's not, it sucks for black
people. And a Republican dominated
Senate.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna be as bad.
It's gonna suck for black people, suck for women.
It's gonna suck for everyone, but
for minorities.
You know, they're gonna have to accept a lot that they didn't. You know.
It sucks for the environment.
Then again, if he does end up bringing jobs back and the economy improves, everyone's gonna love him. Nothing else will matter, in my opinion. So. Better plan our trips before January 20th. Right? I would like to go back there one more time.
But at least Illinois voted.
Yeah.
But that's a liberal state, right?
I don't actually know. I think it's on the cusp. But generally, because Chicago is so big and it's a liberal city, that's it. Yeah. The New York Times is a fascinating map, which I think tells the story.
Hmm.
It's actually got nothing to do with, well, not nothing, but it's got something to do with, like, obviously, you know, the evangelical vote, well, not evangelical, I should say, that very staunch Christian voter base, rural areas,
blah, blah,
blah. My dad was
saying something about a Bible, they have a Bible Belt. Like,
yeah, a Bible Belt, so that's the Bible Belt there. It's like sort of strong Christians, anyway, this is what tells the story. This is like the movement between 2012 and this is sort of the blue-collar working area of America, and this traditionally has been democratic, you know, labor and unions and, you know, that sort of thing. And they all voted Trump, because Trump's promising the jobs, whereas Clinton was more focused on, you know, Hispanics. And,
that's,
you know,
what? That's New York Times?
Yeah. It's funny how the roles have reversed. The Republican Party is now the ones punting workers. And, do you think Robert McBride will be?
He's supposed to.
Eh?
He's supposed to. You said he was going to be, yeah? I don't know, but the officials are here now.
They're plugging. You know how much data I've used? Just sitting
here.
Like half a gig. Just sitting here. Anyway, as I said in my status, I'm a firm believer that you can't change what the vote says, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We should all get together at Dylan's house one day. It's been too long.
It's a mess.
We need to sit and discuss these things.
It's almost December. Oh, I need coffee. This is his first, like, proper.
Yeah.
He's only been back a week. Thank you.
Okay.
Right, members, 2 minutes that we can just reconvene to wrap up our interaction with Secretariat and the Audit Committee. Thank you very much. We'll just wait for the other members. I mean, I might be back once. Right, honourable members, let's go. There's one or two committee members still outside, but let's where's the audit committee of the secretariat? Oh, there's one member. Mr. Matuba, you will have to represent them until we wait for them to return. Right, members, I think we were dealing with some of the issues. Is there anything outstanding? And also internal audit. Yeah, let's go to internal audit and then, yeah.
I just wanted to, because according to the AG, they are saying that internal audit says it delivered 9 audits, whereas they disagree with us. It's one of the areas that we disagree materially. You know, we on a quarterly basis, we have audit committee meeting where all the reports issued by internal audit gets presented. And we also gave them audit pack. So all the 9 audits that were issued, they were presented in each and every audit committee meeting, particularly the last committee meeting where we presented. So when they conduct audits, we give them all the hard copies. So now, I just want to say to the committee members that it is actually incorrect that when they say internal audit, they don't deliver the internal audit report.
That's the principle. That's why it's important. Those reports must be listed in the audit committee's report. If you look at the IPET report, the internal audit reports are listed. So that's what we're saying about the template. We need that, you know, that we know exactly what you did, you know, during the year under review. Acting Secretary, we'll come back to the professor. Yes.
Honourable Chair, you raised the issue regarding the responsible people. I just wanted to put the word document. Now, I just wanted to check, because you can guide us so that we correct in some of the areas. We have got responsible person in each one of the areas. So this director there, all of them we've put in the word document, just that when we presented we didn't put that.
Was a question regarding our interaction with the minister. We do not have any interaction with the minister. I think that's a shortcoming, as in other departments, there's a regular meeting between the minister, chairperson of audit committee, the accounting officer, and the CFO, as well as people from the IG as well. So I think that's an aspect that we should look at, that it might be arranged by the accounting officer, the contact with the minister.
Right, members, final round. For wrap up, final round. Honourable Bele.
Thanks, Chair.
I'm sorry if I missed the professor's response to my question just now about interaction with the minister. I'm not sure if that has been addressed yet. He just did. Okay. If I may ask as part of the response now, just a Cliff Notes version of that, so I can just get clarity. But my last question is to the acting secretary and his management team. I think an echo of the question I posed to the SAPS last week, which is there's been an identification of some systemic and ongoing issues, and obviously our interest as a committee is to see those resolved. And a big part of that comes down to the drive and the motivation of the management team to play their crucial role, to apply the right levers and make those changes. And a big problem with the public sector, in very general terms, is that the structural conditions do not lend themselves to strong incentives for you know, sort of innovation and excellence. If anything, the nature of bureaucracy and weak accountability mean that the lowest common denominator is the one that will manifest. You know, you still get your monthly salary, you keep your job, whether or not you perform, underperform, or excel. So I would just like to get a sense of clarity as to what is the incentive underlying a sense of drive and any proactive momentum on the part of the acting secretary in what remains of his tenure, assuming that he may not be the one who becomes permanent from December, as well as the team. What's going to be different so that we have an improved picture come this time next year when the committee inquires about audit issues as we're doing now? Because government is great at analysis and identifying issues and coming up with turnarounds and you know, all the plans in the world as to knowing what's wrong and what needs to be done, but it's the actual implementation and that being backed by the right energy to sustain that, which is the big challenge. So just an assurance for the committee as to what that incentive and that sense of drive is from the management. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Two last questions. Slide 22. Last time I referred slide 6 as page 6, which was incorrect. Slide 22. No declaration of interest by suppliers doing business with the department. What declarations? What are the details of the declarations which suppliers to the department need to put forward? The last one, Chairperson, is slide 29. The finding indicates that annual performance plan does not cover the MTEF period. I don't understand as to how do you execute your duty with regard to projects that we have identified for the department, because this is the framework within which all details for the execution of your responsibilities will have to be confined within. So annual performance does not correlate with that or does not cover. I don't understand why is it like that. Maybe out of explanation we can be able to understand it. But this last question, Chairperson, they can respond it outside or anywhere. The last one, to say if this was the product, this presentation was a product, you're taking it to market where there are competitors, how much would you expect to get from the buyers, this presentation? This is just an outside question. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mula, and then Honorable Ramatlakane and Margie.
Thank you, Chairperson. My last two questions. In slide 13, you are talking about the training. I want to know what is the content of the training and whether it will be enough to prevent a repeat qualified audit report opinion in 2016 and 17. In slide number 17, findings number 15, findings number 16 in slide 17, quotation awarded to supplier without an original tax clearance certificate. Who's responsible for awarding suppliers? Because you can't give a supplier without an original tax certificate. And who's responsible for oversight, for checking all the quotations? In slide 18, number 17, supplier with the lowest points selected for procurement of service. How can you give a lowest points? This is corruption, because you can't give the supplier who's saving the lowest points, whereas there is a supplier that is saving 50 points and you give the one that is saving 15 points. This is unacceptable, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The first one is just by way of follow-up to the question that was answered, I think the CFO also spent time on explaining the difficulty with the AG. And I think it was a question that Honorable Mikey raised in terms of, just a comment maybe in passing, CFO. Your explanation around the difficulties with the tender of a particular function, where there is a difference of opinion between you and the AG. You see as multiple, and therefore small envelope of tenders and quotation, whereas the AG sees it as a one event. Now that is an issue. I just want to, my simple understanding, and I'm not a finance person, the problem with your perspective is that you will draw in multiple actors to bring in the quotation. And then the multiple actors to bring the quotation, at the end of that process, the management of that is going to be one problem, and the second one is going to be finance and the cost overrun. Whereas in the other one, if you had one event, which you say this is an event, and this event you want a service provider to, you procuring a service for this event, and you're going to write out a one check at the end of that process. It's management, it's managed easily. It's an issue that if a service provider is going to subcontract some people under that, it's not your problem. Your problem is that you want integrated service, and the model is that this is an event that's got multiple actors in it. So I intend to agree with the AG's perspective here. But let me pass that quickly, Chair. The question I want to go to that you must just explain, the capacity of the finance division. I think even the audit committee made a comment around this earlier on and in a previous session. What are we going to do to address the capacity of that? Because you're either going to stand or continue to fall or crawl if you don't have the capacity. And the capacity I'm referring not to just one body. I'm talking about capacity, a requisite capacity to the work that they need to do. Skill gap I'm talking about. What is it that you're going to do to address that particular gap? And could you be so kind and inform us about who are these members of the task team that is going to manage a review and this issue about the audit findings, the accrual issues, the statement issues, the mistake. Who is this team? What is, if you can just give us the name, because they didn't come out of your presentation. Thank you, Chair.
You're going to the last because I want to wrap up now. We can move to the next item. Move to the next item, yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. On slide 23, but before I get into number 25, maybe I need to repeat again that maybe the aim here is to get the department right. And the questions that we are asking piecemeal, maybe they might not be helping. The overall structure of the department seem to still be ticking. And maybe we should be listening to you telling us as a committee that these are the problems that we have. We think the solution to the problem might be this. Because, for instance, an example of bus. If you are using bus and maybe the correct system might be, I don't know, is it Logis or Logis? If that would make you, that would make the structure be perfect. Maybe you should be telling us some of those things, or no, with bus, there's still a possibility of coming back with the same problems that we have here. Then maybe we deal with the whole structure. Because as we one of my colleagues said, we are not gurus in all of these things that you are talking about. And if we keep on asking these things, piece me, maybe that is not a solution to the problem. Like I was about to ask, verification on appointment of employee were not carried out. Maybe I might take it or no, that is given, according to me. There's no way in which you can miss if an employee will need vetting or pre-employment vetting, you should have done that. If it needs to check qualifications, maybe from our side we wouldn't understand or why could such a thing happen? Did you take your nephew or your... So I think maybe we must, at some stage, you must just tell us or no. Because our duty is not to interrogate you. Our duty is to have the department working. So how does it happen that there's no verification of an appointment? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, members. That's the questions. Maybe just a few strategic issues. Maybe also the chair of the audit committee. I just want to get in. You spoke about leadership. Is the audit committee satisfied in terms of what we heard this morning? The secretary position will be finalized. There's a new CFO. Are you confident that we're going to move from the current qualified with material issues. I just want to get the assurance. And what other proactive steps will the audit committee do to ensure that we move towards what the AG put on the table? Then also to the acting secretary, the chairperson of the audit committee mentioned in passing that they recommended that you use a consultant to get your statements ready. But now you've got a CFO, so I presume the skills is now in the department. Are you satisfied in terms of what you presented today and also your action plan that we can move from a qualified to an unqualified? I just want to get that in short from you. Right. That's the questions. Let's start with the audit committee and finish with the acting secretary. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, of course, I can't give an assurance on this one. But for me, the most important part this morning is that we do have a CFO. It will all depend on the energy and leadership that a CFO will take, that will take the department forward. As I'm quite honest to say, these findings of the AG could have easily prevented, as it is not rocket science. And with a CFO full of energy and understanding his responsibility, I'm sure we can go forward and come to an unqualified audit report. But we had to wait for internal audit when they do the follow-ups, what happened there. So there's a certain, especially I think we will be in a position to come up with an unqualified audit report.
I think maybe also to answer Mr. Mabuda's question on the state of the presentation. We as audit committee members, part of our role is to ensure that we follow up on issues raised by the audit committee. I think the first step will be to follow up on the strategy to address AGS findings, because as we mentioned, that we did recommend that some of the root causes are not valid and that we need to make sure that we look at the facts, not manufactured information. So part of our action plan will then be to make sure that Turkey will review this document after management has looked into it, and then put it as one of our strategy in ensuring that we address issues raised by the Auditor General.
Yes, thank you. I think we also requested the department to give us a policy matrix so we can begin to understand that they not only have the policy, but they understand the responsibilities that come from that policy. And I think that's the issue of compliance, because when we first looked at the risk registers, we started to see that, okay, the policies are in place, but the implementation seems a gap, or the understanding what has to be done with regards to policy is still a gap. Thank you.
I'll ask the CFO to just deal with, and I will close. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Chair. On the issue of declaration of suppliers, what normally is supposed to happen is that as we procure services from the different suppliers, they're supposed to provide us a list of the directors of their companies, which they normally do. But then, when AG comes in, they will pick up that some of those directors, in most cases which are not sometimes listed in that list, you'll find that they are employee of a certain department somewhere or municipality or anything. Then that is where then AG will have an issue to say, but how could we have given this business to a company which has a government employee? So the declaration actually talks to that, which is actually picked up only by AG. They've got a special system which they're able to pick up those people. In terms of the content of training, maybe what kind of content of training that will be provided. Maybe you will know that in the previous years, the financial statements were only prepared by one and only one person, the senior manager in the unit, was the person who was also an acting CFO. So he was doing the work and also quality checking himself or whatever you call it. But we've taken the issue of, which also maybe talks to the review team, we've taken the preparation of the AFS to the people at assistant level. So the assistant director is the one who's going to now prepare the actual financial statements. And those financial statements, even before they could go to the senior manager for financial management. They'll have to go through the DD, will then have to do some quality check review, what are the gaps within that, and then from there it will then go to the senior manager, and eventually then it will go to the CFO before it can go to management. Then after the CFO, then it will be presented to management actually to see how far they went. So that talks to the review team and also the content of training. So the people, because the assistant director never prepared this, so we've actually introduced that system already now during the, when we're preparing the IFS for SA at the end of September. So that team is starting to work on those ones. The issue of lowest supplier with the lowest triple PFA point, how can maybe in some instances we do give business to those? But then it relates to the whole thing of poor planning and not doing things on time. You will find that we request suppliers to provide us the code, and by the time when the actual supplier who has won is supposed to deliver on those issues, then the supplier will end up saying that they've got no capacity to provide whatever that we would have ordered. And you will find that it will be maybe we might not have the service delivered or whatever that's supposed to be delivered if we'll have to start again the process of requesting quotation, because we have actual requests from a lot of suppliers even before we took the. So in that case, then we'll end up taking the supplier who would have had the lowest points, because that is the one that would be prepared to deliver on those things. So that is out of, it's not a norm, but it's when it's under this kind of circumstances when we can go back again and request the quotations. Yes, the issue of splitting of procurement and whether it's different. Yes, I agree. I want to agree with Honorable Ramasakan to say that we also in agreement to say that the split, if you get different quotation for all those services, it's not the proper way. We're supposed to have gone through the tender. But like we said, what would happen is that the line managers would have given us these services that they need, piece by piece. So would have requested quotes for this, but at the end of the day, when you combine all the amounts for that event, then you find that, no, but this could have come to a tender amount. So that is how, it's not that we also condone that kind of practice, but it's the way we get the request from the line managers when they want this kind of services. I don't know whether maybe the issue of bus and logis, maybe I have to also maybe touch on that one. But really, as a department currently, because we don't have sufficient staff within the finance, we haven't yet implemented the logis. We haven't activated logis. So we only work with bus. But then I'm happy to say that we have since, because the posts that were supposed to work on logis, they are not in the structure. A memo has been prepared for the executive authority's approval to have those additional 3-4 people that will work on bus to come to the department. So that is how far we've gone so far. I think I don't know if maybe I'm missing any other point.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The first question in terms of the systemic nature of the problems and what were the incentives to ensure the drive. The task team that we've established, which is chaired by internal audit, it meets twice a month, looking into how far are we doing in terms of what we committed to do. It's all the chief directors or their representative, just a level below your director level. If they are not available, it can be a person lower than a director. So they look into these issues in terms of how we are implementing. That's the intervention that we are making, and we believe that it will change the culture in terms of people making sure that they do the right things, because they are going to be held accountable. The question on the APP, I think Mr. Basson will address that, because we have already dealt with that issue. Whether we will get the unqualified audit in the next year, there are issues that are a legacy. Issues about the legal fees, which we might be expected, because we got a response from IP who indicated that they cannot pay for those fees. It means that that money might come from our coffers, which could have a qualification already. So that's the issue in terms of going forward on this financial. So it's legacy issues that will affect us. In terms of how we are doing things now, there won't be new things that is going to come that come with issues of irregular expenditure and so on, because we are doing things correctly. There's also that issue of the travel agent, the one that was appointed without following. We have already cancelled that, but this dispute in terms of the invoices that they brought, there was also a court case because they wanted to take us to court, and we are still addressing that. So it's an area that is historical, but it's something that is going to be with us in the next in this financial year. If this was a product, we sold it to the honorable members of parliament, and it's not 100%, but I think we could get some money out of it, and then we will build on it, and it's going to become a perfect product. Just want to check if this is... the report that the chief director corporate services indicated that the minister has approved those positions means that now we can implement logis, because we will have warm bodies to actually do that. Without the warm bodies, because separation of roles, which is stopping us from implementing logis, I think it will address a number of those issues that we don't have to use Excel to record transactions. I think I've dealt with all of them. Yeah, I just want to emphasize on the issue of the opinion between AXA and us, the Auditor General SA and us. They are an oversight body, and that's the message that I'm putting to all my managers, to say their word. If you have put in your position in terms of this is how you understand things, their word, unless if Treasury, who are the custodian of policy, come with a different position, you cannot differ with the AG. So when they put things up, the only thing wherein is the interpretation of the policy, we will refer it to Treasury. Whatever Treasury says becomes, because they're the custodian of the policy, becomes how we're going to manage things going forward. And that's the discipline that we're going to have, rather than having differences. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Masson, anything else?
Yeah, the Secretary requested I respond to the... to the annual performance plan does not cover the MTF period, and the root cause is different interpretation of applicable National Treasury APP preparation guide. I think that is the issue that the Secretary in fact raised now at the end. So according to us and to National Treasury and DPME, we do cover the MTF period, and I've got a copy of the current one. I can put up a copy of the last one that we are discussing, the 2015-16. So the root cause is there's a difference of interpretation. But when we do the APP, we do two drafts that are being submitted according to the framework. We do two copies, first draft that is being submitted to both DPME and National Treasury, and then they make their inputs after the submission of the first draft, and
when they come back and with their comments, and we adjust according to their comments, and then we do an update on the first draft. We submit the second draft. So from our side, we have not had during the period of planning an issue with the MTF period. It was after the publication and the submit tabling in Parliament, and then the audit process, that this issue was raised. But there is a misinterpretation or a different interpretation, because according to DPME and National Treasury, it is in.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you, members. We come to the end of this interaction. I want to thank the Audit Committee for this interaction. It's the first in this term, but I think it won't be the last. The Audit Committee's got an important role to ensure that there's proper oversight, and we're looking forward to the energized approach that's going to be utilized in the coming months to ensure that we move from yellow to green. I just want to maybe again emphasize the issues that the AGF indicated in his interaction on the 11th of October with us, the three issues. Management should act on the recommendations made by the AG in a timely manner and implement action plans for internal controls that are sustainable. The issue raised by the chair of the audit committee about slow implementation. So CFO, you've got your work cut out for you. Accounting officers, authority must successfully implement basic internal controls and accounting disciplines by preparing regular and accurate financial statements and performance reports. Of course, the role of internal audit is very important, but it's not the role of internal audit to ensure financial compliance. It's the line managers and the accounting officers that must do that. And finally, senior management leadership and oversight structure should continue to pay close attention to the occurrence of supply chain management transgressions. So that's the other three issues that the AG has indicated that we must follow up. As I've indicated previously in our BRRR recommendations that was adopted by the House last week, a lot of our recommendations in terms of the Secretariat deals with financial management and also the issues raised by the AG. So I would also maybe advise the Audit Committee in your endeavour to have closer professional relations with the management, that you study also the BRRR recommendations, because the management will have to come back in mid-January and indicate to us what has been done about the BRRR recommendations, and it's about just 2 months to go. We're already entering, we're near the middle of November, so it's 2 months, and then we want to know what is the action step that was taken. So, quite important. Thank you very much. We will allow for a three-minute break to allow the Executive Director of IPED and his team and the Audit Committee just to take their places. Thank you.
So we only have to lose office in January, right? So what happens if he dies between now and then?
The deputy will stand in for.
I don't know what's worse.
Oh, to where?
To the legislature.
Right, members, can we maybe start with our proceedings? Some members have got other meetings, so I want to ensure that we've got a working quorum in terms of the new rules. The new rule says 4 members. And we've got 4. Right, thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you also to the Executive Director of IFED, Mr. McBride, and his management team, and also, I think, the Chairperson of the Audit Committee. Maybe just a moment out. Also, welcome to him. I'm just going to ask the members to introduce themselves, and then we'll ask the Executive Director to introduce his team. Thank you.
Goeiemiddag, dames en heren. Mijn naam is A.N.G. Molibati. Het is al lid van hierdie komitee. Baie dankie.
I'll talk my mother language. En sikani, vitra mina en minar simat mavunda, member of the committee.
Ngiyabonga sihlalo, igama uZakhele Mpele, ilunga le committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On my right is Director Executive Support, Ms. Mbaho. Immediate right is Ms. Lauli. And on my left is Corporate Service Chief Director, Ms. Nesianda. And behind is CFO Ngongo. And Chairperson, Mr. Motala, and you can introduce other members.
Thank you. My name is Chair.
Okay, thank you. I'm the Chairperson of the Audit Committee. On my immediate left is Ms. Mvuyana. She's a member of the committee, and I've got Ms. Padimo. She was with us earlier. She's also a member of the committee. There she is. I have apologies for 2 of the members. The one has got a subpoena to appear in court, and the other one, unfortunately, work commitments.
Thank you for the introduction. And maybe just to give an indication, more or less, of the aim of the meeting and the rationale, and also that we've involved police as well as civilian secretariat. After our BRRR processes, we said that we must step up our oversight in terms of ensuring that we get green reports in the portfolio. Now, we got a briefing from the Auditor General on the 11th of October 2016 on the relevant departments in terms of the 15-16 outcomes, and that's really the focus today, the 15-16 outcomes. Now, in terms of the 3 departments, I think IPED did relatively well, in terms of the unqualified, but also the issue of the financial statements, an issue that we have put on the table very, I think, sharply in the last year or two, and there's a major improvement. Also, I think if you look at the usefulness of annual performance information,
IPIT is fine there. Also, reliability of performance information is also green compared to the others that are still not the green color. So there is indeed some progress with that. And the focus is really to also look at the issue of legal compliance. I think IPIT has still got to focus on that. And also the issue of performance management is fine. But also issues of assurance and of the management is maybe also issues that must be looked at. So that is really the focus. There was a further interaction with the Auditor General also last week between him and the chairs of the portfolio committees in Parliament. And he also again highlighted the need that there should be a sharper focus in terms of financial management, but also in terms of performance information. And I just want to raise the same issues I've raised with the other departments in terms of the role of the audit committee. It's quite vital because in some instances the audit committee is actually defending management in the process with the AG, but they must play an independent role. They must give assurance. They must ensure that the internal audit function effectively. And I think in terms of the annual report, the report of the audit committee is of good quality. So well done. Furthermore, I just want to raise the issues that was raised also by the AG, and that's the issues we are looking at. In terms of slow responses by accounting officers and seniors management to recommendations, that's quite important that must be addressed. Audit opinions on financial statements. So I think the next level for IPIT is, of course, going to a clean audit. That should be really the focus in the next financial year. Then the small improvement in quality of performance reports. Non-compliance remains high. And then also the role of internal audit should get the necessary attention. Now, in the case of SAPs, we send them back. They're coming back next Tuesday. We also sent the secretariat back. They were back today. Now, Executive Director, we received your presentation. Now, your presentation is focusing on the 14-15 action plan. We already dealt with it as a committee. We appreciate, again, the new information. But if we go to your presentation at the back, you've got only two or three, I think, slides on the action plan. And what we really need is a comprehensive action plan in terms of who is the person or line manager who's going to deal with that issue that's still on the table. We also need timelines. What is the dates? Now, you can maybe look at the examples of the secretariat and the police. So what I would suggest that you will maybe come back in the next 2 weeks with that presentation, focusing on what we really ask for in terms of an action plan with dates, because that's what we're looking at. Because the AG also, you know, it's quite good maybe to list the issues that was highlighted by the AG, but we want an indication what is the action plan, what's the date, that we can test it. And when you come back in January for the PRRR, I don't think there's a lot of financial issues for IPIT, but we need an indication that there is indeed follow-up, and also the assurance, of course, by the audit committee. But the audit committee is here, so we're going to do the same as we did with the police. We're going to, you know, if you want to add anything, you're welcome, but we also want to focus on the audit committee, your current role, because it's an important, vehicle of assurance, ensuring that you move to a clean audit. So that's what we're going to do. Executive Director, anything from you before we start with the questions?
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I think maybe a small explanation from Director Internal Audit about miscommunication, and just clarify, but we will comply.
Okay, thank you, Edie. Much apologies to the honourable members. The brief that we got was that the action plan that we had provided in the previous year, firstly, the honourable members would like progress on that, and as well as the action plan, highlight of the action plan for this year. But what I can point out, and maybe honourable members can deliberate on it, although the presentation that is projected here does not have detail, we do have the action plan with us. It's not quite a long document because the findings were not a lot. So it's up to decide whether we can just
now go through the detailed action plan, like the one we saw civilian had on the screen, which we have, but not necessarily on a word presentation.
No, I think we would prefer to get that copy beforehand, that research can look at it and members also can study it. So let's do it at a time in the next few weeks, but let's go to the audit committee then. Members, let's go to questions directed to the audit committee. Right. Right, questions, members? Okay, a few then from my side, so that I give the opportunity to members. I just want to get the indication whether the audit committee met with the office of the AG during the planning phase of the audit to address any areas of concern, and then also the issue of sustainability. In terms of the financial statements, as I've indicated in the introduction, IPAT has moved to the next level, but can the audit committee maybe indicate what measures have you put in place to ensure that that performance is sustained, and before the financial statements is submitted to the AG, is there a thorough interrogation of those statements before it's submitted to the AG? And then also the issue of internal audit. I just want to get an indication from the audit committee's chair whether there is enough capacity, and in terms of the issue of compliance with the legislation, that is currently still an issue. It's still not green, it's still yellow or amber. What does the audit committee see as the challenges, and how are we going to deal with that to ensure that we also, in terms of that area, move forward? Right, Honourable Molebatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we be told why the findings were not fully implemented and the recommendations of the internal audit? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. Will you explain the manner in which follow-ups are conducted on ASGISA findings and how action steps are implemented and monitored? Thank you.
Honourable Markey, are you fine? Honourable Bele? Okay. Honourable Bunga, you're fine. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, as well as Honourable Members. Maybe just a quick comment on what you raised initially, Honourable Chair, the issue of the Audit Action Plan for 2015-2016. In fact, we have a view as an Audit Committee, which we've communicated to management, that one may not want to wait for the issuing of the report before we start the process of preparing the Audit Action Plan. In our engagement during the audit process with the AG, we have a fair idea as to which are the findings which will be on our audit report. So we can actually start quite soon with preparing an audit action plan so that we implement from the first day of the financial year. So that's a recommendation which we believe, if taken forward, would add a lot of value. Honourable Chair, on the questions that you've raised, whether we meet with the Auditor General on the planning stage. Chief, planning stage is meant at the inception, when the audit strategy is discussed as well as the engagement letter. Yes, we do. We do have a dedicated meeting with the AG and with management. We point out to the AG any issues that we've picked up on which we believe that there should be a special focus. So we have done so, remembering that we were appointed in October 2015. So we're actually there for a portion of the 2015-2016 financial year. But with the 15-16 audit, yes, we did meet with the AG. We did make our contribution. We made our suggestion, not only on that, but also on the budget itself, because clearly, you know, for us, it's an issue to ensure that the budget is sufficient to cover the scope of the audit. John, what measures on sustainability. in terms of performance in that IPET has an unqualified audit. Yeah, I think for us as an audit committee is to ensure that we continue to play the oversight and monitoring role, bearing in mind that, well, we're not there full-time, but clearly the quarterly meetings do provide the necessary platform for us to then engage quite in detail with the accounting officer. And I must say that the accounting officer has been very regular to our meetings together with the top management, especially, you know, the CFO. So it allows us an opportunity to monitor. But I think more than that, the approach we've adopted is to always apply a fair measure of skepticism and not simply, you know, very gullibly accept what management puts to us. So that's the one. Obviously, the support we get from internal audit is very clearly also important for us to ensure that we do our work. And I believe that if we succeed in performing the role, which is a legislative role, clearly the sustainability of the current audit opinion will endure. But I think more importantly, to move on to the next level, which is the clean audit. So I'm quite confident, and like I say, for the year that we've been there and with the cooperation that we've been receiving from the top management, we are more than confident that sustainability at this point in time does not pose a risk. Chair, that also then capacity of internal audit, yes, Chair. I did say, Honourable Chair, that we do have, as an audit committee, the benefit of that support for the period that we're not there, and obviously interacting with the internal audit reports as well. Just two issues, Chair. I think capacity is always an issue. We are fortunate in the sense that when we started, or just prior to that, the appointment of a substantive CAE was, in fact, confirmed. One area in internal audit which is a huge challenge is we do not have the capacity for IT. We have raised that with the acting executive director. We've had one engagement with the ED in preparation for today's meeting, but surely in the more substantive meeting we'll have soon, we'll engage on that as well. So that is a problem. One of the ways of overcoming the problems and the recommendation we've made is that we may want to consider a co-sourcing model for IT, but that requires budget. We are alive to the fact that IPET does have financial constraints. In the last financial year, we attempted to get the IT audit done, but unfortunately we did not succeed because of financial constraints. So we're hoping that there's some budget for this financial year. Hopefully we'll be able to conduct that. So the capacity gap is very much in IT. So that seems to be a problem. The second challenge we have is the, I would say, non-implementation of some of the recommendations of internal audit during the year. And it's also a view that if management does succeed in implementing all the internal audit recommendations in year, that will definitely have a very positive impact on the eventual audit outcome, simply because you basically pick up the kind of issues the AG may eventually raise. So you have the benefit of not having to address them post-audit, but pre-audit. So in that sense, that is one of the challenges. But I think if one has to monitor, and we do, we have a tracking register at every quarterly meeting of the number of internal audit recommendations that were made and how many have been implemented. And obviously, we do hold the management accountable in terms of reasons why certain of the recommendations have not been implemented, and obviously also the remedial action which they intend to implement in order to avoid a recurrence of that. Compliance with legislation, Honourable Chair, let me say my own sense is that it is more on the operational part of IPET. That's my sense. And I think to a large extent you would find the AG's finding on the issues of the disagreement on definition around the issue of special closures. That matter, I'm advised, has been addressed by way of some amendment to the SOP. I must confess that We've been informed that the SOP has been amended, but we've not as yet had sight of the actual amendment. So for me, it's more on the operational side. And I think there, to some extent, it reflects on the capacity issues at provincial level. Because what we have found in our quarterly engagements is that in the internal audit reports, that the number of issues which arise and which culminate at the level of the head office have their genesis in the provincial offices. So I think, and obviously from province to province, there's an issue of differentiation in capacity as well. Honourable Molebatsi's question on why were findings of internal audit not fully implemented. The Honourable Molebatsi, I think through you, Honourable Chair, it's an issue of, I think to some extent, depending on the nature of the findings, in some instances it largely related to the issue of capacity. But again, we are satisfied that it wasn't all doom and gloom. A lot of recommendations were indeed implemented, but there were many. I must confess that I cannot, at this meeting, properly pinpoint any specific reason in relation to any specific recommendation that was not implemented. So I'm speaking in very broad and general terms. Follow-ups on the AG, yes, and one would note that there has been some sort of improvement in terms of the implementation of the AG's findings from the 14-15 financial year. And I think we're happy as an audit committee that some of them have been cleared. The disappointment is the obvious one, is the repeat findings. And our view is that if we've had a finding, obviously we've managed to engage with those findings, get to the root cause. Why is it that we cannot get to the real nub of the problem so that we get rid of the cause and not the symptom of the problem? So our follow-ups are basically by way of also monitoring the implementation of the audit action plan at each quarterly meeting. It's a standing item on our agenda that we look at and clearly engage with management if any of them have not been implemented, the reasons therefore. But I think it's not just about holding management accountable. We play an advisory role as well. So it's important for us to also advise where I put management has challenges in terms of implementation, is to also advise to provide advice and based on our own experiences in terms of how those matters should be addressed. Honourable Chair, I'm not too sure. I think I have covered all.
Each of financial statements, I presume you have looked at it before it was submitted to the AG.
Yes, Honourable Chair, we did. We did. We had a special meeting convened for that purpose. My memory serves me correct. We did make certain recommendations in terms of changes. We were unable to meet again to look at the amended set, but then by way of a round-robin basis, we did have a look at it as individual members and then respond by way of email. So we actually, for want of a better term, sign off before submission to the AG.
I will also give the Executive Director an opportunity, but I first want to just get all the questions. Yes. Honourable Mabunga, then Honourable Molebatsi, Honourable Mbele.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Mine is just a follow-up question on his response to Honourable Molebatsi's question to say, in this meeting, he can't pinpoint specific issues to say this is the cause or this is what happened. Now, I just want to find out as to whether are there some reservations in this report such that as portfolio committee we can't get it, because remember our duty as well is to play an oversight role and also make sure that we assist to correct the wrong things, not only false finding, but also to assist to make things work properly in the department, because the failure of the department is the failure of the portfolio committee. And some of us would not want to be part of the failures, want to be part of the successors. And once the department succeeds, it means the government is doing well as far as service delivery is concerned. So my follow-up question, Chairperson, is that at least I don't think we expect reservations in the portfolio committee, because otherwise you are accounting to us as parliamentarians. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of your roles is to address matters that were raised by AGSA. Now, my question is, how far are you in addressing this debt that is between Civilian Secretariat and IPT? How far are you in addressing it? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I don't really have any particularly burning issues because it looks like the IPID is in fairly good shape from an audit perspective. So it's really just issues that jump out at me that trigger a bit of curiosity, because I'm looking at what the presentation states as the repeat findings, overstatements of key management personnel, performance agreement not signed by 31 May, assets could not be verified physically for existence, which all relates to, call it, monitoring functions. So I'm just curious if that is more attributable to the factor that the audit committee chairperson mentioned earlier around challenges with ICT, because, you know, ICT would help with flagging when a deadline is coming up and sort of just managing those information flow systems, or is that a more of a of an HR capacity issue where you just haven't got enough brains and hands to move at the right speed to cover all that ground? So are we looking at a technological constraint there or an HR constraint in terms of the repeat findings, because those are the ones that we obviously want to have off the table so they don't become entrenched? And then just a very small detailed question. One of the findings under the human resource management aspects of the AG's findings was that there was fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred by advertising a position not on the approved structure. If the ED's team has that information here, what was that position? I just want to check if it was something quite low level or something quite high on the if it was above rank 10 or whatever. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yeah, maybe just an issue. I just want to flag maybe for the next presentation also the 30 days issue. I mean, in all departments, it's a big issue, and it affects also, let's say, firms that dependent on those payments to survive in terms of the economic situation. So it's not only restricted to our cluster, it's all over. So maybe in the presentation that we can have also a special approach how to deal with that, because that's the issue that we must deal with as Parliament as well. We can't continue to have small businesses not being paid within the 30 days period. It's got a huge implication also as well. Other questions? Chairperson of the Audit Committee and then the ED. Thank you.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, my apology if I'd misunderstood the earlier question. I understood it to be in relation to internal audit findings, and hence my response to the fact that the number of internal audit reports which are generated throughout the year, and for me to pinpoint precisely what are the reasons for internal audit recommendations not being implemented, I would have to rely on my memory, which would be difficult. But if it's in relation to the issues of the Auditor General, clearly, and again, my apology, I understood the question to refer to internal audit findings. And there are many more internal audit findings than what the AG would give in one single report. With regard to the Auditor General, Honorable Chair, we'd find that, and it is on our presentation, I don't know whether I should, but I know the presentation has not been flighted, so Honorable Members may not be privy to that. But if you look at the total number of findings were 53, and 46 of them, we're talking 14, 15, Honorable Chair. Yes, 46, and it was only 7 which were unresolved. And the reasons were, again, varied in terms of the findings. It was about the internal control environment, I think, to some extent, its resources constraints. These were the reasons why those 7 were not addressed. And again, I have mentioned that in some instances there are some repeat findings, and the other disappointing factor was the obvious one of new findings. There were certain new findings which we will obviously address in the action plan for 15-16. Honorable Chair, on the issue of the dispute between the Secretariat and IPED, unfortunately, as an audit committee, we do not have information on that. The issue from Honorable Umbele around the HR issues, it is, I think, a measure of both. And hence, if one addresses both, one would get rid of that finding almost on a permanent basis. The challenge I referred to from an ICT perspective was more on the audit, having the internal audit capacity in order to get the IT audits done during the financial year. Honourable Chair, just then one comment on the 30-day payment issue. It's a standing item on our agenda, and we now go to the extent of actually asking for almost a printout of every single detail relating to a specific payment, so one can drill down and find out precisely what are the reasons why payments are not being made in 30 days. But I think with IPED, it's largely an issue of it's a cash flow issue.
Thank you.
Edie,
thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Just to say that some of my officials will deal with some of the questions raised by honourable members, and I just they will indicate when they want inputs.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe the question that was posed by the honourable member about the reservations into pointing out specifics as to why there would be repeat findings. As the one who provides information to the audit committee through my operational responsibilities. What we have noted, the first thing, I'll start with the AGSA findings, it's sometimes the timing issue. There are those regular daily transactions that when you are still interacting with the AGSA on specific findings and also still trying to find the suitable action plan to address, at that time transactions are going on. At the time when you have a final action plan to implement with due dates, there's a period that would have lapsed in a specific financial year, we'll say 2015-16. So when the AG comes and audit, they would start from your April, when you were still going around trying to find how to best address an issue. And part of their sample will cover that, and it's highly likely and for them to have similar issues that maybe somewhere July you had started to address, but because those transactions had already passed, they were not covered. What I've noted as well, it's I think the Chair had, alluded to the capacity issues that seem to exist in provinces. As we were going on last year, there were some action plans from the head office that required task teams, especially from program to the core, to be traveling around and actually checking what could be the causes, because yes, each and every province has its own dynamics. But during the implementation process, because of the cash flow issue, and not to use it as an excuse, but being the one who's responsible of the processes, I did note that some action plans had to take a back seat because now there was no longer adequate budget to cover now the traveling, and they had to be deferred. So it's those issues that at the end we had to find ourselves in a situation where there are internal audit findings which are not addressed, and then as a result, AG would have come and also maybe raised those issues. And for the repeat findings, your HR, like Honorable Mbele had alluded to, yes, it's those operational practicalities that sometimes you realize that maybe we could have done better, But with this one, I'll just take the performance agreement. It was only one official, one senior official, and we really beat ourselves up when we realized, when the AG raised it, and we tried to understand the story behind, because we did believe that we were on track. But then only to find that, yes, it's prepared, it's sent to the supervisor, but because of operational issues, the supervisor is not around, and the time lapsed. I think they signed it on the 1st of June, and the deadline was 31st. So it's those things. It can be one out of a pool of senior managers, but the fact that one was not signed. And your 30 days, it's issues that we have been trying to resolve, but we are not yet successful. But we do, as we experience a bit of failure, do try now to find new ways. And I believe that as we go through, at the end, we will find something that structurally will merge with our processes and ensure that those findings are not repeated. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Maybe also just to speak to issues of some of the action plans. You find, I think there were 7 findings that repeated themselves. Is it an operational issue, a monitoring issue? I think it's a combination of both. For example, just with the regards to the issue of 30 days, we will give you a detailed presentation as to the possible remedies that we think could benefit the department. But some of the factors that end up making it difficult to see the full realization of what we think would be in the best interest of the department then leads to budgetary constraints and management having to prioritize and do best with what is available to them. For example, with the issue of 30 days payment, we've done a study, or there was research done benchmarking with some of the departments that are performing at 100% payment level when it comes to 30 days. We spoke to them, what are the systems, what policies have they implemented, what checks are they implementing the engagements they have with their suppliers to make sure that the invoices they receive are ready and accurate for processing so that there are no delays. And to implement some of those systems, we've come up with a strategy where we can start with some of the best practices that they've shared with us, but again, we will do so at a limited capacity level in terms of being able to establish that invoicing processing unit, which is critical to ensure that invoices are attended to on time so that suppliers are paid no less than, I think, target payment turnaround time is about 3 days. But we'll have to start somewhere, which is the approach that management has taken, but the long-term vision is to have a fully-fledged unit that can process invoices immediately. But we will present those issues to yourselves as a committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I think I must also mention that we are waiting a handover report, so that some of the detailed issues and explanations for why certain decisions were done could be properly elucidated. So as soon as we get the handover report, and then we'll deal with that.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, no, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity for us to engage with yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you.